Discover personally how the Word of God can affect a change in your life through the ministry of Bishop Dyke Heward Mills. Dyke Heward Mills is the founder of the Lighthouse Chapel International denomination with over 3,000 branches worldwide. He is a healing evangelist and an author of several best-selling books. He is also the pastor of the First Love Church, a campus ministry with over 500 branches. The First Love Church is a vibrant church with young, energetic people full of first love for the Lord. Now listen to Dyke Heward Mills. That draws us to.
Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "This is what pertains to the ministry. From 25 years old and above, they shall serve in the tabernacle of the Lord. But at the age of 50, they shall step back from the priesthood. They will assist their brothers in the service of the Lord. Younger people will take up the ministry. This is your time to mark from 25 to 50. This is your season. 25 to 50, it is the best time of your life to work for the Lord. 25 to 50. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. You must understand that you don't have forever. You cannot postpone the time of your sacrifice. Do you remember how young and innocent you were when you started walking deeper and deeper and deeper in sin? You were not too young to walk and live in sin. How can you be too young to do the work of the Lord? Oh, this is your time to work from 25 to 50. This is your season. 25 to 50. It is the best time of your life to work for the Lord. From 25 to 50. Jesus gave us a warning. The night is coming when no man can work. is the time to work for God. This is the time to fight to build the church of God. Oh, this is your time to work. 25 to 50. This is your season. From 25 to 50. It is the best time of your life to work for the Lord. 25 to 50. 25 to 50. 25 to 50. 25 to 50. You gotta work for the Lord from 25 to 50. Oh, oh, 25 to 50. Work for Jesus. 25 to 50. So work with all your heart. 25 to 50. Work with all your mind. 25 to 50. The time is running out. 25 to 50.
Hallelujah. Oh, put your hands together for Jesus. I can't hear you. Do it better for the Lord. And you can add a shout of praise. Do it better. Do it better. Do it better. Keep clapping. The louder your clap, the sooner your testimony. If you believe it, shout, yeah. Hallelujah. God is doing powerful things in our midst. The Bible says these blessings will come upon you and they will overtake you if you will hearken to the voice of the Lord your God. I believe as we pay attention to all the instructions we are receiving in this house, God will flood our lives with blessings. Say amen if you believe it. Our first testimony is from Sandra. She's from First Love Town Church. Oh, do it better for her. Hallelujah. Sandra, tell us, what has God done for you?
I want to thank God for receiving a large gift by listening to the seemingly small instructions our prophet gave us.
I'll take it again.
I want to thank God for receiving a large gift by listening to the seemingly small instructions that our prophet gave us.
Wow, tell us about it.
So a while back, it was my dad's birthday, and mostly I just wait for my older siblings to buy something for him, and I just tag along and say, oh, happy birthday. So
You never buy anything for your dad on his birthday.
I just receive it from him.
Forgive. And what happened this time?
This time around, he told me a week before that, oh, my birthday is coming on. And I said, oh, okay, so why are you taking us? And then he didn't say anything. But then I brushed the rice. I didn't think about it any longer. So the day before, he told me again, my birthday is tomorrow. And I said, oh, okay, there's some nice restaurant here. Are we going? Again, he didn't say anything. So on the morning of the day, my brother gave me a letter to give to him. So when I gave it to him, he was like, oh, is this my gift? And I said, oh, no. He said I should give it to you. Again, he didn't say anything. So I went back to bed. And as I was sitting there, Daddy always says that we honor not because the person needs it. We just honor.
We honor
not because the person needs it.
We don't honor because the person needs it.
Yes, we don't.
But that doesn't need your gift.
At all. It's even his money I'm going to use to buy it.
Wow.
So I still didn't do it. So around 12. And then it kept coming. And I said, okay, let me do something for him. So I went to get something to give to take to his workplace. But because I delayed, he even left. But then he called me that, oh, he's at a place, I should come. So when I went there, he was like, oh, why are you here? Then I was like, oh, I brought you a gift.
He looked. You told your dad you brought him a gift.
Yes. And wow. He looked very happy. And it was not anything big. It was just a mug and a cake. So he looked at the mug, and then he opened the cake, and then he covered it again. So then he was standing at one of his sides. So he just looked up and told the caretaker, oh, she's coming to live here. And I'm like, a four-bedroom house in a place I can't.
No, take your time, take your time. Take your time, take your time. Take your time. Don't stagger. Take your time and explain the testimony. You said your dad was standing at one of his sides.
Yes, please.
And he turned round.
He turned round.
And told the caretaker,
like, oh, she's coming to me. Yeah, and she was like, son.
And the house is a what?
It's a 4-bedroom house in a plush area.
Hey! I don't know why you're still sitting down like that. Give the Lord a shout of praise. You are looking at the owner of a 4-bedroom house. Do you have it? So why are you not putting your house together for Jesus? Hallelujah. Your dad said the house is for you. Wow. Just because you gave him a gift.
Yes. It was something very small too.
Wow. And what else?
It didn't end there. He didn't even cut the cake or anything. He just said, okay, put it in the car.
He doesn't need your cake. It's probably full already. All right, you know that the dad doesn't need the cake. And what else happened?
So he was like, okay, let's go home. So on our way, he just said that, do you remember this thing? Like some months back, I was joking. I just said, oh, give me this huge amount of money. And I know he won't give it to me. Like, let's be serious. He will not give it to me. So then when he said, no, why would I give you that money? What for? So I forgot about it. So on our way home, he was like, do you remember this thing you asked me for? And I was like, what? And he was like, the money. And I was like, yes. He said, do you remember the money I made you put in this account? Use it for it. And I was, it's not like 200 CDs or 1,000 CDs.
It's what?
It's like thousands in a different currency, a very powerful currency.
Oh! You are the next person to receive a blessing. Shout amen. Which currency is it?
Is it pounds? Thousands of pounds.
Oh! Give the Lord a shout of praise. So did you believe that you could receive such a gift?
No. Like, no. At all.
Wow.
Because my father, he doesn't give. I'm not the first. He doesn't give houses. He doesn't give money like that.
Wow. But your dad will give you something you are not expecting. Put your hands together for that powerful testimony. Hallelujah. Our next testimony is from Pastor Roger from Switzerland. Please do it better for him. Oh, keep clapping. Keep clapping. How are you doing, Pastor Roger?
I'm blessed.
Tell us, what has God done for you?
I want to thank God for giving me a large gift.
A large gift?
A large
gift. Wow. Tell us, how did you get a large gift?
About 2 months ago, Prophet said that we should start more branches in Switzerland.
More First Love churches.
Branches.
In Switzerland?
Yes. So we started 4 more branches in St. Gallen, Bern, and then also in the French-speaking part.
You'll be there.
Amen.
The prophet has already declared it, so say amen.
Amen.
Wow.
And we also started in Lausanne and Geneva.
Wow.
So I went and visited them, and our services are on Saturday evening.
Okay.
And Sunday, I also pastor the Mustard Seed Chapel International Basel. So on Sunday, I preach also in Basel. So I preached on the Saturday in St. Gallen. And then on Sunday, I went to Basel.
You preach
as
on
usual.
Saturday in St. Gallen. Yes. On Sunday, you come to Basel.
Yes.
How far apart are they?
St. Gallen is at least 2 hours away.
Wow.
So one way, 2 hours. So going back and forth is 4 hours.
Wow.
Yes. So I went and preached there. And a couple that usually goes to Mustard Seed Zurich came and visited us. And then they said that, oh, we heard that you preached in St. Gallen the previous day. And I said, yes, and next Saturday I'll be in Bern.
Next Saturday you're going to Bern?
Bern, yes, which is another 2 hours or even more away. So they said that, oh, so how do you travel? So I said, oh, whatever is the train, bus, tram, but no car. So they said, oh, okay, wow, so God bless you. And I said, amen. So 2 weeks after, I received a phone call that I should come to Zurich. And I was quite afraid because when you're called to Zurich, it's usually for a meeting. So I was going to Zurich quite nervous, preparing for a meeting, preparing different answers and so on. And when I got to church, I said hello to the pastors. And they said, oh, hello, Pastor Roger. Come, let's go downstairs. So I went down. And lo and behold, I saw the couple that came 2 weeks ago to Basel with a car for me.
Yes! Why are you still sitting down like that? Give the Lord a shout of praise. They had brought a car for you.
Yes. They said that they were so touched by the traveling that I'm doing to go and preach the word of God. And
they said they were so touched.
Yes. They were so touched that somebody young like me can do this.
And you said prophet told you to start these branches.
Yes, yes.
So you had to go around to make sure they were starting.
Yes,
all that.
Exactly. And that everything is
He mixed the word with faith. As you hear the words today, you have to mix them with faith. Because the Bible says that all these blessings will come upon you if you will hearken to the voice of the Lord your God. Hallelujah.
And the amazing thing is the car, I can carry 5 more people to church and to other things. I can carry church instruments and then all
these
things.
It's a patenta. Somebody shout, it's a patenta. You are the next person to receive a large gift. So Pastor Roger, what do you have to say?
I want to say that whatever the prophet says, listen to it and then mix it with faith. It will surely come to pass. Amen.
Wow, put your hands together for that powerful testimony. And our next testimony is coming from Cyrus from New York City. First Love New York City. Or do it better for him. Cyrus, tell us, what has God done for you?
I really, really want to thank God. I want to thank God for changing my life through the Makane.
Wow, tell us about it.
Pastor Paul, so I lived in Ghana for 17 years of my life. I was in my school. I was one of the notorious people.
You know, I was notorious.
Notorious.
Okay.
Because I was a sharer of pornographic magazines. Yes.
Oh, why are you saying this so proudly? Take your
time. No,
You were a sharer of
magazines. You see the magazine? I tear the sheet and I pass it in class.
Mercy.
While we are studying, I share the sheets of the magazine. And we tear one, take one, take one, take one.
And what happened?
And then a door opened and I went to New York City. When I went there, my big brother told me, Google Fred Lighthouse Church near you.
Your big brother?
My big brother who was in Lighthouse in Ghana.
He told you that as you're going to the United States, you should Google Lighthouse Chapel International near you.
Yes. And at the time in New York, I Googled Lighthouse Church near me.
And was there one near you?
Yes, there was one near me in Manhattan.
Wow.
Yes.
May there be a First Love Church near where you are.
Amen.
When somebody goes online and Googles First Love Church near me, may your basanta come up in Jesus' name. And tell us, so you went there?
Yes. So that Sunday, I went there in the morning. When I went there, it was Reverend Osei, Dr. Nosh, who was preaching. I said, I was so blessed. I said, I will stay here. I will stay. I will be faithful. So I started going. At the time in Ghana, I wasn't serious. So I started being faithful. They said there is a church called Save Church. Go. I followed the people, Save Church. When I went there one time, a girl gave me the Makane. And that is what changed my life. Gave me the Makane and I started soaking it in. I began to be faithful. I began to be serious. And one time, listening to the Makane.
You were listening to the Makane one time?
Yes, one time. And the phrase came up, I believe, touched my heart. The prophet said, if you want to follow me, do what I did when I was your age.
He said, if you want to what?
If you want to follow me.
Do what
I did when I was your age.
Wow.
Yes. Don't follow what you see now. Follow back then. So I started to look into the life of the prophet. What did he do when he was in college? And I saw he said he started a fellowship, which has become the Lighthouse Church right now.
Wow.
So I went into, I said, Father, give me the grace to do something at my college. Yes. And then they announced Mission America Camp 2014. So at that camp, when I was going, I said, Father, let me catch that grace to start something in my school. Mission America 2014, when I went, the prophet was preaching. My eyes were red. Sitting in front, my eyes were red.
May your eyes be red today. Yes. He said his eyes were red. Yes. I can see a lot of redless eyes. May your eyes be red in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
And what happened to you?
Yes, so 2014, Mission America, the prophet was going up and down like this. My eyes were red. Father, let me receive something. At that meeting, one of the sessions, he prayed for all the young people. Say, Grace, start something in your school. Start. And that's
that Grace.
Grace, start something in your school.
Wow.
Yeah, he said, if you can't go somewhere, start where you are in your school. Don't go. Do something where you are. And that camp was the camp that set me ablaze.
Okay.
So after that camp, I went to my school, told everyone I'm starting a fellowship. I'm starting a fellowship. That semester, I started a fellowship. Small, 3 people, 5 people, 4 people, 10, 8. And then this year, Apostle Joel said, listen, the prophet is saying Start First Life Churches. So change your fellowship and make it into a church. And that is the First Life Church New York right now. In New York
City. Fellowship you started.
Yes, the fellowship I started.
That is First Life Church.
Yes, First Life Church.
In New York City. New York. Oh, give the Lord a shout of praise. The same grace that was declared over him, the same grace is upon you in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
The Bible says you are partakers of my grace.
Yeah.
I see you starting something right where you are. Put your hands together for that powerful testimony. And I also want us to welcome Paul from First Love UK. Please do it better for him. Paul, tell us, what has God done for you?
I want to thank God for the
every
grace.
City that is mentioned here today, I think he will be there. Amen. Tell us, Paul.
I want to thank God for the great change that I received through staying and listening.
Through staying and listening.
Staying and listening.
All right. Tell us about it.
So basically, when I first came to uni, I was an innocent, well, I won't say innocent, but I didn't drink, I didn't have sex, I was just, you know, coolie guy. But then...
Before you came to university,
yeah,
before, you didn't drink?
I didn't drink.
You didn't do any bad thing?
I didn't have sex, no.
What happened to you in university?
So in university, I met a few people, and then they got me into drinking. They got me into drinking, got me to having sex. So then now it was a thing where if I was having a presentation at uni, I would drink. If I was playing Xbox, I would drink. Meeting my friends, I would drink. Meeting my girlfriend, I would drink. Any reason, I would find I must be drinking. And then, then they pressured me into having sex. And then
how old were you when you came to the university?
18.
18?
Yeah.
And they introduced you to sex and drinking?
Yeah. So, and when I got to my first and second year, the sex was so... I wanted to have sex so bad that I now wanted to go into porn. So I said, yeah, sex and money, that's what I want to do. Yeah.
What?
Sex and money, that's what I want to do. Porn
you want
money.
To do sex and money?
Yeah, that's it, yeah. Yeah, and then after that, I started going into a lot of fraud. I started stealing. I got this magnet from China. So then we'll go to the stores, and I'll take the magnet off the clothes, put the magnets in my bag. No, put the clothes in my bag. Then we'll walk out. I remember the whole of my second year, I had a free wardrobe, didn't pay for anything. Then I got deep into fraud. I started doing online stealing.
Take your time. You got into
I started doing online fraud. I started getting TVs, Xboxes, iMacs, Apple things, all of that. And I didn't pay for anything. My room was just full of it. And then at the same time, my friend was starting a band in the church, and this band was used to go around churches so that they would pay us to go and perform. So then I said, yeah, I'll join, I'll sing, I'll do it. And then, but then the pastor in his church, because he was in First Love, the pastor there, her name is LP Esme, she's now missions in Belize.
Wow.
So then she dissolved the band completely. And then I was like, but that's my business. Why are you stopping my income? So then I went to the service to go.
My business was to go around.
Perform, get money, that was it.
In churches,
yeah. So then I went to the service, and I saw her. She was preaching He That Have. I've heard the message many times, but the way she preached it, I was just sitting there listening. I was like, wow. And I went to the service to go and fight her, to go and accuse her, go and get my band back. But then at the end of the service, I found myself putting my hand up, giving my life.
Wow.
And then now, that was 3 years ago. And then from then on, I remember I went to apologize. I said, I'm sorry, but I want to learn how to be a better Christian. I want to learn how to better myself. And then she introduced me to the podcast. Then from the podcast, I was just sitting and listening, wisdom series, what is in the oil, private interviews. I was listening, soaking. And then now, I don't know how, I don't know why, but I found myself here. I went from porn to wanting to win souls. I went from alcohol to prayer to quiet time.
Hey.
I found myself wanting a completely different desire. Now I'm here. It's only by the grace.
Wow, give the Lord a shout of praise. Every evil desire in you is changing too in Jesus' name. Amen. Put your hands together for that wonderful testimony. And our final testimony is from Eugenia. Eugenia from Ukraine. Put your hands together for Eugenia. Hallelujah. Eugenia, tell us, what has God done for you?
I want to share my testimony about how God, how I experienced a great change in my life by joining the First Love Church in Ukraine. And so I was an ordinary half-co girl who was growing up in Ghana. And as I was growing, my friends and I used to play games. And those games were actually lesbianism. We used to do all sorts of lesbian things and stuff. And as I was growing, it changed it. I went into boys. I was in relationships. I remember my first boyfriend was when I was 12 years old. And I used to think that so long as I'm not sleeping with anybody, it doesn't matter what we do. So I would fight with people. What are you talking about? You know, if so long as you're not having sex, it's fine. Do whatever you want to do. I had a boyfriend. Because of him, I went to a girl's school so I could remain faithful to him. I didn't want any distractions. Then fast forward, I finished school. I went to Ukraine University. My plan was that I'll be a good student and that every Friday I'll go to the club and I'll be drinking. Because in Ukraine, it's normal for young people to drink. If you don't drink, there's a problem with you.
Ish.
So
I don't think there's a problem with me. Is there a problem with you?
And at that time, I was in a relationship, a verbally abusive relationship. I was very depressed. I lost my self-esteem. And I had a friend in my class, medical school. So he invited me to church. He was inviting me for 6 months. I didn't want to come because I thought my boyfriend would get angry with me. One day we had a really big fight and I decided to come to church. And at that time, Elder Jacqueline, she started a basso. So I came to the basso and she was preaching about how to be born again. And I never heard about it before. I remember 20 things that are not the same as being born again. And I was shocked. I didn't know all these things before. And I was convicted. I gave my life to Christ. Then the next Saturday, I didn't want to come. But somehow, somewhere, I found myself there. And I remember she was praying for people. And I remember I asked her. Then I felt that I should ask her to pray for me to speak in tongues. So I asked her, and then I received the gifts, and I started speaking in tongues. I remember I used to run away from people who speak in tongues, and there I was speaking in tongues. I was screaming, shouting all over the place.
You can speak in tongues.
I can speak in tongues. Shandere basakoyandere. And she made me start leading prayer in church. I remember I still had problems with boys. But the more I started listening to the podcast because my shepherd said, then I'll learn how to lead prayer. So I started listening to the podcast. My life started changing. I became the shepherd of film stars. Then by God's grace, fast forward, I stopped the boys. Everything changed. I'm now a lay school teacher. I'm a shepherd. I have sheep. I translate in church. And I'm really, really grateful to God for the great change that I've experienced. And
wow, put your hands together for that powerful testimony. I believe you will also experience a great change. Amen. And our final testimony is from Pastor Daniel from Birmingham. Oh, do it better for him, Pastor Daniel from Birmingham. Pastor Daniel, tell us, what has God done for you?
There's been a great change in my life.
Wow.
So the life that I used to live before, I grew up, I was born and raised in London.
You're born and raised in London?
In London. And from the age of 12, I started smoking weed. We used to smoke weed before school. We used to meet after school to carry on before we went home. It got to the point where I couldn't go a day without smoking weed. This went on for about 5 years. Every day, morning, evening, my eyes were always red. My parents believed that I had chronic hay fever that stayed despite the season changing. So, alongside,
they didn't know you were smoking weed.
They didn't know that I was smoking weed. We used to cover it up very well, but this was the life I was living. I knew no Jesus, I knew no church. We used to go out on a Saturday and we'll decide. The day that I decided to lose my virginity was a decision.
So
we took a decision. We said we're all going out today to collect numbers and then we'll give ourselves 1 week. Yeah. So these are the group of friends that I was around. And I grew up, time went on, and I carried on this lifestyle and I got to university. And then I had some encounters with church, with Jesus, but I never took a decision to take him seriously.
Okay.
And I actually took a decision at the end of my first year of university to go the complete other way. I said, I'm not going to any church. And I decided that I wouldn't step foot in a church. I didn't go for weddings. I would always go for the after party. I didn't go to funerals. I had decided that
even
I was...
Even weddings and funerals?
Even weddings and funerals.
That's serious. I mean, like, even weddings and funerals, that's quite serious. Ish.
And then one Saturday, whilst I was at university, I decided to go to the library. And to this day, I can't remember why I went to the library. And I went into the library, and there was a guy sitting there, and he said, is your name Daniel? And I said, yes. And then he called me over. And then we were speaking, and he asked me, what church do you go to at the moment? And at the time, I'd already made it. I said, oh, you know, I'm not really. I've just, you know, I started talking. And he said, oh, I want to invite you to my church. And for some reason, Pastor Paul, I'm saying I made a decision for 1 year, weddings, funeral. For some reason, I just said yes.
Said yes to the guy.
I can't explain why. To this day, I don't know why I went to the library, and I do not know why I said yes. So the following morning, I remember waking up and thinking, yeah, I can't let this guy down. I've told him I'll go. Yes, let me just go anyway to just, at least I've gone. I won't let him down. So I remember I went. When I got to the church, I walked in with the guy. There was somebody on the keyboard, somebody on the projector, two people leading praise and worship, and there was nobody in the congregation.
There was nobody in church.
I'd never seen a church like that before.
So it's a first love church. Though the beginning was small, the latter end will greatly increase. Shout amen if you believe it.
And then the guy that I came with, he went to go and do projector. So the whole service was to me. I was standing, I couldn't believe it. I was thinking, have we come early? Are people coming later? But truly, truly, that was the service.
That was the service.
That was the service.
You were the service. You are the service today in Jesus' name. Wow.
So I went week one. And then for some reason, I said, I'll come back the next week. I went week two. Then on the second week, I responded to the altar call.
Okay.
And I gave my life to Christ. And, you know, at this point, I went to the front. I didn't quite understand. Even when I look back, and the second week, I remember I really tried to make an effort because I used to wear earrings. And I decided because it's Sunday, I'll wear a cross in each ear as a sign of respect.
You used to wear earrings.
I used to wear two
Shout
earrings.
Ear. Wow.
So I gave my life the second week. And then on the third week, I said, as I'm going back, I've decided that I'm coming. This is my church. And I made a group on Facebook. And it was called Aston Goes to Church. And I invited all my friends. And I remember telling the pastor, next week, I'm bringing some people. We'll need to put out some more chairs.
You told the pastor next week, you are bringing some people.
Yes. I don't think he understood. And then the following Sunday, as I came in, I stood at the door and I was ushering the people in.
The people you had brought. The people you had brought. Are you still sitting down like that? Give the Lord a shout of praise. The Bible says straight away, Paul went and started preaching the gospel. Shout straight away.
So I remember I invited probably about 33, 35 people came that first week. Among them was my wife that I married, that is my wife today.
Yes! Including all the important people for my life.
So I just joined the church. At that point, I was still new. And I remember there was a camp. There was a camp. Prophet was coming to the UK. This is a while ago. And the camp was called, Why Are You Not a Missionary? And I wasn't too interested. I said, you know, I've just started church. I said, oh, just come to a camp. You'll enjoy it. I remember when I got to the camp and I stepped foot in the room and I saw the banner, Why Are You Not a Missionary? I said, where am I? What have I come to? But it was at that point, watching the Healing Jesus videos, and I believe they're very important, that my heart softened. And I said that if one man can do all of this, then God, help me to do something in my small area. Wow. And at that moment, my heart changed towards the ministry. And I began to take things serious. I became an usher. I began to move through and do different things. I learned how to play the keyboard. And if I fast forward now, there was a point Bishop Richard said, Daniel should go and do something. Daniel should go and start a branch. At first, I thought it was like a joke, like a joke, like a joke.
That's how it is.
And then I met Bishop Richard again. And then his question was, is Daniel still there? And then I realized that it had become serious. So I went and I was sent. And I remember at the time, I said, I don't feel like I can start a branch. I don't know anything. So I took two books, Art of Leadership and Mega Church. I would read the book. I would apply the point. I will read the book. I will apply the
you
point.
You what? Read the book.
Apply the point.
Read the book.
Apply the point.
Will you read the book? Will you apply the point? Wow.
I remember the day I decided to implement AOL, get angry sometimes. I decided in the morning before I got to church that today I will get angry at the ushers.
Wow.
And I gathered all the ushers in the room and I got angry. And I realized, hey, these points, every single one of them works. And today I'm a pastor of the First Love Church in Aston, which is a blessing. I'm now married to somebody that I invited to church that Sunday. And, you know, I remember when I first started showing interest in my wife, her friends called her for a meeting. And the topic of the meeting was not Daniel.
Not him.
Not Daniel.
That was the topic.
Yeah. Her friends gathered her and called her for a meeting. So when I'm saying that God has changed my life, he has totally transformed my life.
Give the Lord a shout of praise.
And as I'm here, I'm blessed. I can't wait to serve God full time. I'm just waiting. I'm like a rocket waiting to be sent. I want to live my life and give my life to God.
Give the Lord a shout of praise. God is touching your life too in Jesus' name. He has 400 members in First Love Church, Birmingham. You started that church from scratch.
Started from scratch 3.5 years ago.
3.5 years ago. And you have 400 members sitting down on Sunday. Somebody shout, let's do this God thing. Let's do this God thing. Shout amen. Put your hands together for Jesus. And we invite Tommy for the final testimony. Tommy, tell us, what has God done for you?
Wow, my testimony is about how a great change has happened in my life through the messages and through an interaction with the prophet.
Wow, tell us.
So I grew up in London, and my life started going downhill from around 16. At age 16, I lost my virginity.
Forgive.
Me and my friends were into fraud and girls. It was just fraud and girls.
Fraud and girls.
Yeah, I mean,
that was your formula for life.
It was my formula for life. Yeah, wow. To the point where,
what is fraud?
Fraud. So what fraud is, what we do, we would hire cars. And we would hire cars in other people's names. And when we've hired the cars in other people's names, we just disappear off the map. And we take the car apart and we'll sell the pieces. Yeah.
You take the what?
We'll take the car to a garage behind a mosque or a garage behind some form of building, and we'll just dismantle it.
You dismantle the car?
And sell it. Yeah. Wow. And then when the person is looking for their car, we have the money and the person has the debts.
Forgive.
Yeah. And it was also about sex. We just used to move to girl after girl after girl. We used to do heads and tails. Yeah. Yes. There'll be a girl and we'll do heads and tails. Yeah.
Heads and tails.
With a coin, we toss it. And whoever the coin lands on gets the girl.
And the person gets the girl?
Yes, the person gets the girl.
He actually gets the girl.
We actually get the girl from the heads and the tails. Yeah. Wow. And then coming to university, it continued. First year, second year, it continued. And then in my third year of university, First Love Church was started in Birmingham City Uni.
Wow.
Yeah. And at the time, Pastor Kent was sent there to preach. Yeah. Wow. And I remember my first service. I had a gold tooth at the time.
You had a gold?
I had a golden tooth.
A golden tooth?
Yeah, so when I smile, it shines. Yeah. And I went
to help in the business
to help with the,
fraud.
Yes, the sex and the fraud. It's the look. Yeah. So I remember in the first service, I didn't understand everything. I sat at the back with my arms crossed and I had headphones in.
Whilst
the preaching was happening. But something was changing in me. I didn't know why. Every Sunday I thought, let me just come. Until one day, I remember he said to me, you can do the projector. You can change the slides. And I remember every week I would change the slides and I would see the worship music. I see the scriptures. And suddenly I began to read scriptures.
You have to know scriptures. To change the slides.
Sometimes they mention a scripture. I didn't know. I just put my head down while everyone is looking at me.
Okay.
But through that, I thought to myself, I have to know these scriptures. I remember the great change. He gave me a selection of messages called The Journey. And they were a selection of messages from South Africa, Catch the Anointing. And it was on the anointing, handling the anointing. And I remember I'll listen to it every single morning. We used to share messages, they were gems. But I didn't understand what was happening to me. And I remember once Christmas, I went to Dubai. And I took a book called Quiet Time and How to Pray. And I remember every morning I would wake up around 4 a.m. because in Dubai, the Muslims wake up in the morning. So the noise of them praying would wake me up. And I remember I'd go for a walk with the messages playing in my ear. And I remember having my quiet time every day in Dubai on holiday.
Wow.
Yeah. And then what happened was when I came back to the UK, I wrote a list. And on the list of everything I was removing from my life, I said to Ken, I'm removing this girl. I mentioned the names. And when I got back, I remember calling the girl. I said, hello. I know that we had sex frequently, but from today, I'm a Christian.
Eish.
Yeah. And I said, I also want to invite you to church. Yeah. I said, I don't know if you will come, but I'm going. So no more we will talk.
Wow.
Yeah. And the change kept on happening. Camp after camp. And then I remember Bishop Richard had a camp called Anakazo. Yeah. And when I went to the camp, he said we were praying for 24 hours.
At the camp?
At the camp. It was a root rally. Yeah, and we put the messages and we just prayed in Wales, 24 hours, up the hills. And I don't know how to explain it, but through the messages, I didn't realize I was changing.
Wow.
Yeah, and from the slides, I remember I went to ushers, and from the ushers, today I preach on Sunday. And it's fantastic.
Preach on Sunday.
I preach on Sunday. And no one in my family ever, no one preaches. My parents are short. It's like I do too much. I mean, sometimes I'll come home and just say, I said, I'm going to Ghana. Just a week before, I said, I'm going to Ghana. Where are you going? I'm going for a camp. And that's it. They don't even call me anymore. They know that I'm in church.
Wow. Yeah.
So what I want to say is that through the messages, you may not even understand what's happening to you, but they will change you from the inside.
Wow.
I went from a golden tooth. I used to wear tracksuits every day. Yeah, now I wear black trousers and black shoes.
That's right.
Yeah.
And you're a preacher.
And I'm a preacher as well.
You're a man of God.
I'm a man of God.
Let's do this God thing. Shout, let's do this God thing.
Let's do this God thing.
Give the Lord a shout of praise and put your hands together for that powerful testimony. And let's invite our sister to share her testimony. Please do it better for her. Wow. Chuckling, right? Shaniqua. Put your hands together for her. Tell us, what has God done for you? What's your name and where are you coming
from? My name is Shanika, and I'm from the Nottingham Trent branch with LP Nanama.
Wow, tell us, what has God done for you?
So before I started coming to First Love Church, I was very deep in the world. I had no interest for God, no interest for going to church. I also used to be somebody that would discourage some people from going to church. Like, I had some friends that would say, oh, yeah, we go to church.
Not only were you not coming to church, you used to discourage people from... Okay, continue.
Yes, please. Yeah, so I didn't understand it.
These are the people make their work difficult. Okay, she's safe now, so we'll just continue. Tell us what happened.
Yeah. So, I would discourage people, and I would always say that, why should you read the Bible? The Bible doesn't even make sense. There's contradictions in it. And I realized that I'd actually never read the Bible when I was saying all of these things. Yeah. And then I planned to go to Nottingham Trent, which is where I found First Love Church.
Wow.
But the plans that I had was to, to party, just to be far from my family, to fornicate. So that's even where I lost my virginity when I was in uni. Yeah. And I was drinking a lot of alcohol, to the point where my tolerance level was getting so high that I wouldn't even get...
Tolerance level?
Yeah, so...
Can you explain? What?
So, when you drink a lot of alcohol, especially ones with, high percentage, it's like you need stronger alcohol and you need more to be able to get you drunk.
Wow.
So I would keep having to increase...
So you had a high tolerance level.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes. So I used to drink a lot. You always used to see me at every single rave, every single party. I was there. I was also very much addicted to pornography. But then one day, two people invited me to church. For the first person, Ashley, she came up to me and she said, "Oh, hi, what's your name?" She's a very bubbly girl. I was thinking, what does this girl want?
She was bubbly.
Very happy, very mincheric. I wasn't used to this.
I'm controlling myself here, pa. Shout here.
Yeah.
And what happened? Did you go with her?
She said I should come, and then she kept inviting me. And at first, I said I'm not gonna go. So I ignored every single one of her messages. And then a second person came and invited me and said, "Oh, you should come to church." And I said, "Oh, I know this church, First Love. Somebody else invited me, but I've been ignoring them." And he's like, "Oh, why? You should just come." So I said, "Okay, I'll come." And then I came, and then that's when I heard LP Nanama preaching. Baby wow. Jet.
LP Baby Jet. LP Baby Jet in the house. Wow, she was preaching.
Yes, she was preaching. And towards the end of the service, she said that if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ, she'll come to the front and give you your life. And then my heart was beating hard, like it wanted to fly out of my chest. Yeah,
it was beating.
Beating hard, yeah. And then that was the day that I decided to give my life to Christ. Yeah, and ever since.
And what has happened after that?
And ever since then, it's like I've been more involved in church, and my desires have completely changed. Like I don't have an addiction to alcohol, pornography. I don't fornicate, by the grace of God. And now I'm a Besenta leader and also a choir leader in church.
Give the Lord a shout of praise. You invite people to church now.
Yes.
you a pastor leader?
Yes, please.
Wow. Wow. So have you experienced a great change?
Yes, please.
Is it better being in Christ or outside of Christ?
It's far better.
Wow. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Your life is being changed too in Jesus' name. We have another testimony. Do you want more testimonies? I said, do you want more testimonies? Do you want more testimonies? Love Paul, right?
Yes, he is.
Wow, it's good to meet you. You've combined nice my name you and your the beloved my beloved's name and taken all. It's powerful. Shout, yeah! Love Paul, tell us, what has God done for you?
My name is Lakwa, and I want to just give this opportunity to thank Daddy, our prophet, for saving my life in Ready at 20. He doesn't know it, but he did so much in my life from that day. So I'm going to start from my past. I'm a Nigerian who got the opportunity to study in the UK for uni. So I went to the uni, and on my first week at uni, I had sex on the third day. I've never had sex in my
this
life.
Was where?
This was 2014.
Okay.
I was 17. I've never kissed a girl in my life before then. Like, when I even see girls, I'm always scared. But I went on Facebook to even find someone, like, because I was looking at my university's page. Then I saw one black person. I was like, oh, I need to make this friend. So I just messaged him, and that's the guy that destroyed my life. But my life is saved now. So I had sex. He introduced me to cocaine. I took weed.
This guy you met on Facebook.
This person. Mercy. This person. 24 year old, I was 17. I don't know what he was thinking.
He was 24.
I was 17. And he was like, he destroyed my life from being, I wasn't saved, but I can say I was innocent. I never used to do anything. Like, my mom gave me a curfew to get home at 4 p.m. And I finished secondary school at 4 p.m. So it's like, that 4 p.m., you must run from school and come home. So I never experienced anything till I got. Then Bishop Richard said that you international students, it's like, when you're on the plane, the demons, they start attacking you from the minute you cross the border. Those border demons, they take you down. I was like, hey, that's me. That was my life. So I had sex. I did. If you can think of anything, I'm being serious. I've had sex with 4 girls at the same time. As skinny as I am. Even I look back at my old pictures and I wonder, what do you see? What are you seeing? Because I deleted all my pictures on Facebook for a reason. Instagram, you never.
Let's do this content. Let's do this content. I'm sure there are more of him out there. Let's do this content. Well, continue.
So even it was a girl I went to meet in her house. She was my that time was not even girlfriend, she was my playmate. So I went to her house then. She was going to first love. And she was like, come. And I'm like, oh, to do what? She said, there's jollof. I said, oh, fully, I'll be there. If you know me, there's food, I'll be there. So I said, okay, I went. Then I saw one tiny, no, God forgive me. I saw one beautiful mixed race lady preaching. And I was like, hey, who is this? What's she saying? Then she opened a video and she was, John 13, and she was like, you must be saved. And I'm like, huh? I didn't come out, but I said, okay, I'll keep going. Then I kept going. For 2 years, I didn't give my life to Christ. I was very stubborn. If you know, my parents called me the stubborn child, the black sheep. I was that boy. Just that boy. I didn't even care what they said. So I went. I said, okay. Then she said, okay, be in film stars. I said, okay, I'll be in film stars. When they're acting, I'll be reading the script from my phone. Jesus said, I'll be looking at my phone because I never give my time to even read anything. I was never serious. She said, okay, do this. Welcome everybody to church. I'll be the last person to come to church. She kept giving me opportunity. She said, okay, you are a shepherd. You are a worker. You come and work in church. I was like, okay. That same day, a day before, I went to my friends to smoke shisha. I was like, okay. Then someone went to go and report me to her. Then she called me for a meeting. There's a camp coming on, Ready at 20. You must come. The reason why I went for that camp is because I was not ready for my exam. I had a test on that day. And I knew in my school.
The reason you went for
the
camp was
I was not ready for the exam. And I had a test. I was like, in my school, I can drop a form, explanatory circumstance form, saying I'm going for a religious activity, so I can't be in school. Can you move my exam for me?
Wow.
And they did. So I was like, fully, I'll be there. I went for the camp.
That was your reason for going
to
the camp?
That was my reason for going for the camp, please. On the first day, I was sleeping. On the second day, I went out. She doesn't know this, but I'm going to say it now. I went out to do some things on the second day in a different city that I'm a stranger of. I went out. Then on the third day, the last thing that he said, Psalm 63. Hey.
Yeah! Give the Lord a shout of praise! Wow.
This Even Job, oh God, my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Then at that moment, I just realized I'm missing something inside. I'm not happy. Like, it's like the veil was removed. I was like, I felt like I was the happiest guy in the world. If you knew me in school, I was everywhere. Every party, I was there. It got to a point, I started throwing the parties. People started paying me to come to parties. I was there, crying. I was there. Then that scripture just kept like, oh, you are a sad guy. What's going on with your life? You're not happy. What's going on? Then Bishop left. I was like, okay, come. He left. Give your life to Christ. I came outside. I gave my life to Christ. I went back to my... But from that day, my pastor even asked me, what is bringing you to church? Nelly
your pastor from asked you.
What is bringing you to church?
Like, what is bringing you to church?
After I was saved, she was asking me, what kept bringing me? I was like, I don't know. I just felt like coming.
I don't know. How many of you sometimes just feel like coming? Then keep coming. Your life is changing in Jesus' name.
Then later, as I matured, I'm sure she knew this already, that I was the Holy Spirit. She was just asking me to maybe see my level. Then later, as I started reading the Bible, I just noticed that, oh my days, it's the Holy Spirit. There's nothing that will be bringing me to church. What else will bring me to church? Then she started giving me books, some bishop's books. She made me fall in love with the Holy Spirit. Like, my first experience was with the Holy Spirit. She first gave me Benny Hinn, Good Morning. Then she gave me what they call a bishop's book, Sweet Influence of the Holy Spirit. Hey, Bishop, thank you. Thank you, Daddy. Thank
wow.
you.
Wow.
Thank
you. Wow.
Now, I'm a percentile leader.
Yeah, percentile
I lead
leader.
The choir in my church. People ask me for advice. I'm like, who am I for you to be asking for advice? I was a stubborn, proud child. I'm not humble now. God forgive. God help me. I don't think I'm an humble person, but I'm getting better. My parents are even saying lakpo. My parents message, when my parents are quarreling, they message me. Talk to your dad. Talk to your mom. My sisters ask me. I'm like, what is going on? It is only the grace.
Salute the Lord. Stand to your feet and give the Lord a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Lapos Pastor and Nelly, is Nelly here? Lapos Pastor, where are you, Nelly? Oh, put your hands together for, oh, she's here. Do it better for her. Wow, Nelly, is this your sheep?
Yes, please.
Is this your sheep?
Yes, please.
And you were the one who asked him, what is bringing you to church?
Yes.
Why did you ask him that question?
Because before he didn't used to come to church. We have to call him for church, go and pick him up for church. So after the Red Year 20 camp, Lapo just started coming to church and bringing his friends to church. Like, he never used to come alone. He'll just bring people, all his friends that he used to party with.
Wow.
And he used to just do things without me having to ask him to do. So, yeah. So the Red Year 20 camp really changed his life.
Wow.
So I'm so thankful for the camp. I was so happy. I was like, oh my days. So it's like every camp, I'm always forcing for everybody to come
wow.
to the camps that we have. Because it's really when they're exposed to Daddy or Bishop Richard, that's when I see that they really change and they understand the ministry more.
Elder, Pastor Leader, your anointing is not doing much. I don't know why you wouldn't bring your members for the camp. So you said you noticed the change after the camp.
Yes, because before, we tried everything. I tried even praying for him, telling him, causing him to join ministries, Lapo do this, Lapo do that, and he still wouldn't do it. He still wouldn't change. And then when Daddy came and did the Red Year 20 camp, that's when we saw the real change. Yes, so it was a
blessing. Put your hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah. May you be the center leader, who takes his members to the camp and to services. Put your hands together for that powerful testimony. Wow. Tell us your name and where you're
from. So, my name is Ken. My name is Kenny. And I'd like to share how God has
where
changed my life. I'm from First of VCU. So, my story is basically, so back in the world, me and my twin. So, I'm from First of VCU. And my name is First Love BCU.
Where is
in
BCU?
Birmingham, in the UK.
Birmingham,
yes.
Okay.
So
he's from First Love Birmingham University. City University in the UK.
Sorry.
Do you get it now? Shout here.
Yeah.
Tell us what has God done for you?
My story is that when I was back in the world, me and I was close to my twin.
I
have a twin brother. So Tyrone, I was close to him only. So we used to, my only problem was girls. I didn't like smoking.
Your only problem was girls.
So back then, yeah, I used to get, because he used to come to my house with girls and all these things. So I would be the person going upstairs to clear the room, make sure the bed is okay for him to do whatever he's doing. So I asked him one day that, why don't you help me with one? Because I was getting, because I'm a really shy person, I was getting frustrated.
You've assisted for some
time. Yeah, like, so I should do one.
Take the lead.
See one, assist one, and do one. So he said, okay. So there was one time he brought two girls to the house. So he said, this is your chance. So I was also shy too. So this girl went upstairs. So he said, follow her. So I followed the girl, and that was my first encounter with a girl. So from there, the taste was really strong in my mouth. And I began to search for girls and girls and girls. And I remember we went to different universities and we had friends there. So we called them that, let us use your bedroom. So we go
Let's
to the
use your
bedroom.
Bedroom?
Your bedroom, yes. So they had a room next to the campus. So we said, So I said to my friends there that, let us use your bedroom. Yeah. So
your friends in other universities?
Other universities. So we go to the shopping mall to look for girls and we take them to the room and then do whatever we did. So that followed me to university. And I kept doing the same thing over and over again. And I remember in my kitchen, we had a paper which says FIFA records. But it wasn't for FIFA, it was for girls. So anytime you slept with a girl, you had 3 points. Anytime you touched a girl, any sexual activities.
You had 3 points?
Yeah, 3 points. It's two
points.
How
many points did you have at the point?
I think I had 16 or something, or even more. I don't know. Yeah.
16?
Yes, at that time. So, unfortunately, I felt depressed. My depression was really bad. I couldn't open up to my twin brother at that time. And at some point, when I'm crossing the road, something whispered to me that, why don't you slow down and see what happens? Yeah, that was really bad. And then it got to a point that it kept happening and happening and happening again. So one time, my twin came to visit me in university. And we went clubbing on that night, looking for girls and whatever. And when we woke up the next morning, he slapped me and said that we're going to church. And I was confused. We just been to the club. And when did you start going to church?
Your twin told you we're going to church.
And he said, we are going to church. And I mean it. So we woke up, got changed. We walked for 40 minutes to the nearest church. That was First Love BCU. And I got saved.
First Love Birmingham City University.
Birmingham City University. And I got saved there. But I didn't understand anything about salvation. I didn't understand. But I gave my life there. So I went back to my room because I couldn't tell him about my depression or whatever. So I was just stuck in my room. So I met a friend named Hayward from First Love from Birmingham City University.
Wow.
Now, this person will always come to my room because I didn't really talk. So there was no much many conversations going on. So I'll offer him my bed to sleep on and I'll sleep on the floor. But we didn't really talk much. So
It was just there.
So I was like, why are you here? Like, what's the point? It's church people again. See, so it kept happening and happening and happening over again. And then at some point, we just put on Bishop's messages. And then we played the prophet's messages. And then we'd just be there. And I hated it. Because how come you've come to my room and then you're playing something I don't like? You see? But I couldn't say anything because I was this shy, timid boy. Yeah, so Ready at 20 camp came up and he said, you're going to camp. And I said, no, I haven't got money. What do you mean I'm going to camp? He said, you're going to camp. I said, okay, let's go to camp. So we went to camp. I had this weird hairstyle going on, and then Bishop said that cut your hair off.
Spoke
and
to
yeah,
you.
Yeah, said that you called us out that people with wild hairstyles because he was talking
about.
You had
about, a wild hairstyle.
Yeah, we had a wild hairstyle.
What kind of hairstyle did he have?
It's called curly because girls like curly hairstyle. So I just thought that. Yeah. Yes.
Girls, do you like curly hair? How can you say girls like curly hair?
That's what I thought anyway.
That's what. Okay.
Yeah, so. So I told,
and it was working for you.
It was working for me. It was working for me really well.
But prophet spoke to you directly at the camp.
He's talking about vessel change. So I told to with my friend. And I said to him that, I like this man's messages. Then he looked at me like he was going to slap me. He said, firstly, you call him Bishop Dag. That's his name. You call him Bishop Dag, not this man. Then I thought, okay, cool. Bishop Dag. Okay, let's go. So we went to my room again. He would play Bishop messages over and over, over and over again. Then he stopped coming. See, then I called him. I said, I began to miss him. Like, what's going on? Like, my only friend, I was depressed. You see, I needed someone to talk to, but I couldn't open up to anyone, even my parents. Wow. So, he said that, I'm always in church. I'm always there's Thursday services, there's Sunday services. Why don't you come? I said, okay, cool. I'll come and meet you. So, I went to Thursday service. I was more established. I was doing more in church. I was an usher in church at that time. And then when we listened to the message over and over again, he would say to me that this is the man you need to be connected to. It's not about me. I'm not the person you should fix yourself on, because I was really close to him. And he said, it's all about prophet. Once you listen to him, you'll be changed and your life will change gradually. So I said, okay, cool. But I still didn't like messages at that time. And I still didn't understand why you would listen to a message. Do you get what I'm saying? So, in the room.
I don't know what you're saying, but it's okay.
Yeah. So, in the room, there was one time he came to my room and I started listening to your song for the first time. I got up, went to my laptop and typed in your songs, and I started listening to them. I didn't understand what was going on. And over the time, I realized that I began to acquire a taste for music and all these things. So Tawo came back to visit me again. But this time, he also had these problems too with girls. And he said, okay, cool. See, this is because we're becoming strong Christians. This is our last time to also do anything you wanted to do. Like a threesome, three storms and all these things. Let's just do it. And then after, we'll
do
become
what?
A threesome. So this is when you have two or more girls in the room. And you're there and you're sleeping with them, doing anything you can. Yeah.
You should do it for the last time.
And then after, we'll be established and be firm in the Lord. So I said...
Where's your brother?
Oh, he's there. Tell them.
Ah! So come up here. He told you that we should do
for the last time.
What did he call it?
A threesome.
Three. Some.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yes. So.
You asked him to do a what?
Threesome. So that means like two girls or one boy, or two guys and one girl. But in this case, two girls and one guy.
And you share the girls amongst yourselves.
Yes, we share them. Yes.
Exchange.
Yes, we thought that it's our last chance to do something great.
Yes.
And what happened?
So I remember, Awood was my shepherd at that time. He's still my shepherd. And he knew that something was off.
Awood. Oh, put your hands together for Elder Awood. Wow.
So he knew that something was off because I left.
He knew something was off.
Because I left the fellowship quite early to go, because this guy had girls in my room.
And he had already brought the girls.
He already brought it. So he said to me, he called me, he said, sack your shepherd. Just sack him. Don't let him come at all. Because he would disturb the plan that we had.
He told you to sack him.
Yeah, so he's sacking. So
he told you to sack him.
Sack him. Yeah.
Salvation is beautiful.
I told you.
Wow.
So I was looking for a way to sack him. I couldn't check him off because he knew what was going on. He knew that there was girls in the room.
He knew.
Yeah, he knew.
Hey, well, how did he know?
He was just moving off. I knew that. No,
and he knew it.
He's doing
something. You know your sheep. When you see your sheep and now sometimes you can tell that something is not. So you knew something was wrong.
I knew something was wrong. Because every time these two get together, I know that no, something will happen. Something bad will happen. And my main fight was separating both of them. Yeah, because I knew that if they're together, it won't be a good combination.
And he was the stronger one.
And he was the stronger
one. He organizes the girl. He does a setup.
Yes.
And he invites him.
Yeah.
So yeah, so I tried to shake him off, and then so went to my accommodation down the hallway. He wanted to come into my room. I said no, let's go to the kitchen first. So I cooked for him. Tried to, you know.
He came to your house.
He came to my house. So I tried to go to the kitchen. So we went to the kitchen. So I said no, we can't go to the room. The girls were in my room.
The girls were in the room.
So we went to the hallway to the kitchen, and I said we can't go to the room. I'm tired. I want to go to bed. Then he said, oh, are you sure? I want to enter. Then I said, no, listen, I want to go to bed. I'm tired. What's your problem? Then I might be sacking, but we both knew that there's something happening. So I went to the room. So Tyrell was with these girls. And he said, go to the toilet. So when I'm done, come out and, you'll finish what I started. He told you to go to the toilet.
When he is done.
You finish what I started. So he did whatever I did. So he said, oh, come. You're ready. It's your turn. So I said, okay, cool. Well, no, I know. This is my last time. It's my last time. So I took off my top and I did what I did. And my greatest problem was separating myself from girls. Because I had him and he loved girls and I loved girls too. But with him, but when I was with him a lot, I was with him all the time. I didn't really want to talk to much people because I'm really shy and all these things. And I didn't want to interact with people at all. So I mean,
you were interacting with girls?
Yeah. No.
So girls
just
are not
girls are my shepherd. Just girls are my shepherd at that time. So I just stayed with him all the time, and he would take me to his room, play the prophet's message, and just teach me from a book. He had a special table he sits on, and then he would sit on the table, open the book, what it means to become a shepherd, and taught me what it means to become a shepherd. And he said he could do great things if you attempt, that you could actually become a shepherd. And he created a desire for me, he created a desire in me that, oh wow, why can't I become a shepherd? Why? It's a good job. So I went to church, and over the years, I became a shepherd. And so the Bacenta system was introduced to the UK. And it said, you could also become a Bacenta leader. Why not try? And with me, to do something new is really hard for me because I don't know how to approach it or whatever. So I'll run back to him.
Do you believe all these excuses? I don't believe it. Say, I don't believe it.
So yeah, I said, oh yeah, I believe you can do it. I believe in you, and I believe that you could do a lot of things. So okay, I said, cool, I'll do this Bacenta thing I'm doing. And now I have 3 P members in my Bacenta, and it's still growing by the grace of God. So that's my story. And I realized that if I wasn't close to him, and if he didn't really connect me to prophet, if he said that, oh, come to me only, it is me, come to me, I'm the only person to look at, I wouldn't have grown at all. But he said, this is the person you should connect to, this is the person you should respect, it's the only person that matters. And I said, okay, cool, let's just do it, let's just go for it. And this is why I'm changed, I believe.
And how did your brother get changed?
I don't know. He has a different story.
Give the Lord a shout of praise. Yes. How did he get saved too?
So when we went to university, freshest week. So the time where boys and girls go out socialize before uni actually started. And I was with my
guy is smooth there. Though. Before uni actually started.
Yes.
Wow, tell us.
Yeah, before he started, I was with my friend Kenny, and we went to the event, and I met my friend Agai, my shepherd, and Agai, and she came over to us and said, listen, why don't you guys come to church? And she tried weeks after weeks to force me to come to church, said, no, I won't have it. It's my time to have fun, the time to actually spend time with my brother. But after some
Your brother.
Time... My brother.
Okay.
After some time, she actually forced me. She went to my accommodation and knocked my window very early in the morning, and then said, you're going to church now. I just got ready, I went to church, and Bishop Richard was preaching powerfully, and I just gave my life to Christ at that time. And that time I was still in the world half and half. That's when I went to university here at that time. But I was exposed to the prophet's message, and I was after preaching, I got changed. My first dramatic change was ready at 20 camp. Went with the prophet, and he preached about vessel change. I don't know why, it's just like... I've never met him before in my life. I just wanted to get close to him. I said, Bishop, you're preaching. I didn't understand the message at all. All I got from that message was vessel change. That you need to change your vessel for the anointing. And just wanted to get close to him. So it's
that's how you got changed. Thank you very much, Elder Haywood. Put your hands together for him. God bless you. Sam is going to share his testimony too. Sam, tell us, what has God
Amen.
Done for you?
Amen. So, my name is Sam Bangora, and I'm from... Sam Bangora.
Okay.
So, I want to talk about how God has taken me from a young boy who experienced the civil war in Sierra Leone to now becoming a missionary in Grenada. So, at the age of 7, I mean, the war kicked off, and the civil war happened, and I experienced 2 months of it. And I remember one of the experiences that I'll never forget. I always talk about it with my grandma. Where we were hiding, we ran away, and then 20 minutes later, that place got bombed. And then, so we were running, and then when I was a child, I used to see, experiencing dead people being blown away. Some of that was with us hiding. They ran around, like, to another neighborhood, and then we found out that a bomb dropped there, and that person got scattered. So, by the grace of God, I escaped the civil war, and I went to live in Gambia, in Banjul.
How did you escape?
So, I don't know, something happened, and then somebody that my grandma knew found a way for us to go to Gambia. So, when I went to Gambia, I'm a little nervous, by the way. So, when I went to Gambia, I lived in a place called Bakote in Banjul. So I was there. I lived there for about 7 months. I wasn't going to school. I wasn't doing anything. I was a nuisance. So my life was just, I don't know, I was just doing different things. And I used to play in the cornfield. And interesting, when I come to Ghana and I go to Sierra Leone and I look at the young children, I just see myself wearing the slippers and everything. That was me. Like when I see the young people in Ghana. And then after that, I went to, like it was me, like literally.
He's trying to call us natives.
No, I mean, I'm, like by the grace of God, I mean, I can see myself. And then...
you are no more a native.
I'm still a native. I mean, I born Salon, man. Let me Salon, Bobo, then. Huh? Yeah. Okay. So, then by the grace of God, I went to England. Now, when I went to England, it was bad. So, I lived in an area called Peckham. Now, anybody who comes from Peckham or Camberwell or Woolworth Road knows that these areas are extremely bad. And for me, it happened to be that I was actively involved in gang violence. Like, I got a big stab wound here. I've been bottled before. I used to love fighting. I enjoyed violence to the point where...
You enjoyed violence?
I enjoyed violence. I literally enjoyed violence. And then to the point where I even... I've been arrested so many times that I've lost count. And one of the most serious arrests was attempted murder. And I remember the same day I got stabbed was the same day I got put in the cell. After they stabbed me, I was in King's College Hospital in Camberwell in London. And I remember the police officers, one of them knew me. He was like, oh, you again. And
he said, you again.
You again, yeah. And then I remember I was on the bed and then they were treating me. And then they said, oh, Sammy Bangora, you've been arrested for GBH. And then they gave me the oxygen mask where they... I was sort of dazed so that I don't feel the pain. And then after that, they went away. And then they came back. And they said, no, we've changed it. You've been arrested for attempted murder. And then they started talking. As soon as they finished stitching me, I was limping. They put me in the van, took me to Woolworth Road Police Station. Now, I've been arrested so many times before that. And in the cells in London, there's a sign on the ceiling which says, are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? I used to watch that. I went into the cell at 6:30 a.m. on a Sunday morning, and I left that cell at 12 midnight. I was interrogated by detectives because there was another boy who was stabbed right next to where I was stabbed, and they found 17 stab wounds on his body. And I was actively involved. I used to love violence to the point where I was even involved in kidnapping my own friend. I didn't... And what we did to him and stuff, I can't talk about it. But by the grace... And then, so I have a friend called Ben who's in London. And so Ben and I, we were involved in like a gang in Peckham. We were young boys just going around. Look, we loved violence. I loved it. I used to... When I came to church, that's when I realized I was possessed with demons. Because after one time, I literally, if you don't mind me, I sat on my bed like this. And I was just staring. We had just finished beating up a boy so badly. So badly. I just sat on my bed staring at the wall. And then by the grace of God, one day...
Were you feeling bad as you were staring?
Like, I was just staring. I couldn't...
No emotions.
Because when I used to punch people a lot of the times, these two knuckles here used to swell up and all of these kind of things to the point where we started from stabbings and fighting people to the point where we went into guns and stuff. I remember there was a time where we were in my room. There was five of us and we had a gun. The gun was there and there was five bullets. And then we said to each other, each bullet is for each person. And our rule was, don't lose it and don't get nicked. And don't snitch. Snitch means don't say anything. Don't say anything. So, and at that same night, because one of my friends had robbed a gun from somebody in East London, so we wanted to see if it's a real gun. So we went to a local park, and then my friend took the gun out and he shot the tree. And then fire came out, and then there was a hole in the tree. And we said, yeah, this is real, so let's do this. Like, not we literally said, look, we're upgrading now. Because now people are dying in London, and by the grace of God, I've escaped that. But to cut a long story short, I remember I went to somebody's wedding, and it's amazing how God saved me, because I went to this wedding, and me, I've slept with so many girls, I've lost count. And every party I used to go to, I used to take a condom. And literally, I can be in a house party and I'm upstairs being serviced. And so that was literally my lifestyle. I'm selling drugs, doing food. I was working, I started working at the age of 17. I've been working since, by the grace, up till now, I'm 26.
And at this wedding, what's happening?
So at this wedding, I saw this girl. And then I said, okay, I'm going to speak to this girl. So I spoke to the girl. And for me, when I was in the world, I was very cheeky, I was very cocky, and I was very confident. So I said to the girl, you know what? Okay, you take down my number and you message me. And then, surprisingly, she actually messaged me. After that wedding, I went to a club. And I remember I got home at like 7 o'clock in the morning. And then I slept at my friend's apartment. And then when I woke up, I saw a message saying, "Hey, stranger." And then she messaged me. So a week later, she came to my house. And then she was in my house. We were just having a good time. And then I said to her, "Oh, let me see your phone, like who you're following on Instagram." And then I looked at her phone and I saw my friend Ben. Now, Ben and I were in the same kind of gang, but he left the gang, and for about 5 years, we lost communication and everything. And then after that, I saw Ben doing this, singing into a mic. And I said, "What? This is not the Ben that I knew four or 5 years ago on Instagram." So I said, "You know what? Let me follow this guy. Let me add him." So I added him on Instagram and followed him. And then we started talking. Then he invited me to church, but I didn't come that Sunday. And then the following Sunday, I came. And when I went, Reverend Joe from Apache was preaching. And he preached about hell.
Preached about hell?
About hell.
On Sunday morning?
Yeah, on Sunday morning.
Wow.
And I said to myself,
"We need hell on Sunday morning." I said, "Hey, shh."
And I remember I went with my friend. And I was sitting there. I said, "I don't want to go to hell. I do not want to go to hell."
You're telling your friend?
I told my friend, "Bro," I said, "bro, I am not going to hell." Then that day, after Reverend Joe preached, he said, "Oh, if it's your first time, please stand up." I stood up. My friend sat down. He didn't. I said, "Bro, come on, just stand up." So I stood up. Then all the welcoming team came and shook my hand. I didn't give my life to Christ in the service. But after, a lady came up to me and said, "Reverend Joe would like to speak to you in his office." Then I remember I went into the office. Then that was in 2012. In 2011, I had a very supernatural dream, which I explained to Reverend Joe. And then he said to me, "Son," these are the exact words. He said, "Son, many of the great men of God that are around in the world today didn't have this dream that you had. So take it very seriously. Or if you don't give your life to Christ, you will die in the process." I said, "Hey, Reverend Joe, I'm giving my life to Christ. I'm giving my life to Christ."
He said what?
I said, "Hey, I'm giving my life to Christ." And that dream, I remember in the dream, I remember I was running away from two lions. And then I just found myself in a building. And in the building, I sat on the stairs like this, and I was out of breath. And I remember the way we dress in London, we wear like woolly hats, and we dress, well, fuggish, like track suits. And I was always blacked out. So I found myself dressing like that in this dream. And then after that, I saw literally a bright light. And I remember I was like this in the dream. And then I saw an image hovering in the air. And then I heard the image said these words: "Change your life, for he loves you and he'll give you your heart's desires." And then I remember in the dream, I tried to ask questions. And then I woke up and I said, "Whoa, what kind of dream is this?" So fast forward 2012, gave my life to Christ. And then I remember I went to my first camp, which was First Works. And Bishop Richard preached a powerful camp. And I never knew, didn't really have much understanding about missions and all of these different things. And then I remember that the last session I was ushering. And then I opened my eyes and I just saw everybody on the floor. And then next minute I found myself on the floor. And then I remember after that camp, literally on the coach, everybody was on their iPads, on their phones, looking to go missions on the different islands. And I didn't really know much because I was in church for about 6-7 months. Then I remember one time, because Bishop Richie used to come on the bus with us after service. And I remember he sat next to me. I was like, "Wow. Oh, whoa." And I remember I was telling him that, "Yes, Bishop, I'm interested in missions." And at that time, I was at college. Then he said, "Finish university and then we'll talk." And I finished university 4 years after in 2016. By the grace of God, I'm now a missionary in Grenada. But how I got saved, I remember I was listening to a message. I was walking near Aperture in London, the headquarters. And then I was listening to Beautiful Jobs. And I literally remembered myself saying, no matter what happens in this church, I am not leaving, I'm staying. This is my church for life. I'm not going anywhere. And then literally when I found out that, yeah, the door's been opened to go on missions, I dropped down and I started crying. Because some of the things I've done in this life, I cannot say it now on this mic. But God has delivered me.
God has saved me.
God
but now saved. I'm saved.
But now I'm saved.
I'm born again. Yeah. Hallelujah. And you are a missionary too.
Yeah, I'm a missionary assisting William in Grenada.
Grenada.
And my life has completely changed. I'm different. I'm not the same Sam anymore. Like,
wow. Yeah. Put your hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for Jesus. We take another testimony. Are you enjoying the testimonies? The Bible says we are all changed. We are all changed. You also experience a change in Jesus' name. Tell us, what has God done for you?
Hello, everyone. My name is Dana, and I'm from First Love Nottingham Trent under LP Nanama. I just want to talk about how I've experienced a great change through the messages of our prophet. So first, I'll tell you how I got saved. When I was younger, I was very much an isolated person. I didn't really like to talk to anybody. I always liked to stay by myself. So I isolated myself very much from my family when I was around 7 years old. And when I was seven, my cousin, who I was closest to, he went to prison. He was involved in gang violence and like attempted murder. So that really broke my heart, and I started writing him letters. So I got I became interested in writing, and that's how I would always express myself. I stopped talking and I would only write things down. So this went on for most of my young years, my teenage years, until when I was 13. I completely isolated myself from my parents. I wouldn't really talk to them. I wouldn't express anything to them. I was always just angry with them for no reason. And so when I went to church, but I didn't really attend church as much as I wanted to. I didn't really have an interest because I attended, it was like a Catholic type of church. So to me, the services were very boring. They weren't interesting. I didn't want to go.
Were boring.
They were very boring. I used to fall asleep, basically. And then, so when I was 13, I stopped attending completely. I told my mum I'm not going to go anymore. And I started trying to find God for myself. I started to look into different religions. So I started to look at like spiritualism, Buddhism, Islam. I was studying Islam for like 2 years. But as I was studying these religions, I realized that it still wasn't enough. The love I wanted to feel, it wasn't enough. So when I was 15, my auntie had a vision to give everybody in my family a Bible. And I actually had never read the Bible. All the years I'd been in church, I'd never read the Bible. No, please. I'd never read the Bible.
How old were you at the time?
15.
15.
Yeah. So I decided, let me just look into it. Let me try and find out what actually means to be a Christian. So as I started to read it, I started to watch things online, like different preachers and different messages. I started to have a conviction in my heart. I realized that the greater love that I wanted to feel was truly in Jesus Christ. And I gave my life to Christ when I was 16. But even though I did give my life to Christ when I was 16, I was still very much depressed, and I suffered a lot with anxiety. So my one prayer was that I would find a church when I got to university. That's the one prayer I prayed since I was 16. And I prayed to God that I would find somebody that I could confide in, that I could speak to, because all the years I had never spoken to anybody about any of my issues. So literally, I remember the summer before I came to uni, I really prayed prayers that I'd never prayed before. And the first week of uni, when I got to Nottingham Trent, I found that there was a First Love there. And our pastor was LP Nanama. And I remember the first thing I spoke to her about was my relationship with my parents. and how it was very strained, how I always had anger towards them. And she just taught me to honor your father and your mother, for it will be well for you. And she told me, like, they love you and they want to talk to you and they want you to be closer to them, so you should take this opportunity. So I listened to her and I did that. And by the grace of God, my relationship with my parents is so much better. My wow. mom even blesses me. And even like before I came to this camp, to Mountain of the Lord, sorry, I prayed. I was praying at home. And I was listening to messages of daddy. And my dad even started complaining that I was listening to them too much. He said that I'm addicted to the messages. And I remember, like, literally before the last session of camp, I was so upset. And LP even counseled me just before. And she told me that it's even a blessed thing that your parents are seeing that, because you're listening to the messages, that you're actually addicted to them. And I just want to thank God for LP and Nam. I want to thank God for your life, daddy, because without you, I would have died a long time ago. I wouldn't have survived this life, because I was one of those people I didn't want to live. But it's only by the grace of God that I'm here, so thank you.
Wow. Put your hands together for Jesus. God's power is available today. God is changing your life too, in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, put your hands together. Let's receive.
Aleo? Yeah, please sit down. I'm just making a comment about all these wonderful testimonies. How many realize that God is real? And the power of God is real. Salvation is a real thing. There are real changes in real people. And no, there is no one who cannot change. Everybody can change. If the Holy Spirit touches you. And I want to also say this to encourage everybody who is working in the church. All right? Daniel, come back. Daniel from Aston, Pastor Daniel. Yeah. When he went to church, if you want me to use my mic. Aliu? Okay. When he went to church, he was invited to church. He said he started smoking weed at what age?
12 years old.
12 years. And you said some people were smoking weed with you.
Yeah, they were. We were a group of four. There were four of us that started together. We went to primary school, so we probably met when we were about five or six. And we flowed through the whole education system together. And we all started smoking at the same time. And we used to all smoke at the same times. And as I went to university and I looked back, one by one, I started receiving phone calls from either the people's parents or other friends telling me that one by one they had gone crazy. The first person I remember, I went back, his mum called me one day crying, saying, please come back and speak to your friend. And I went
They've back. Gone what?
They've gone crazy.
Mad.
Mad. Each of them with a different type of psychotic problem. In the first one,
And you are the only one who didn't go mad?
I'm the only one. There were four of us. Three of them, without exception, have all gone crazy. Today, they're crazy. I'm the only person out of the four.
Yeah. Because marijuana causes schizophrenia. It's one of the known causes. Now, there is something that I want you to see. Everybody who works for God, listen. When he went to the church, one person was doing what? Projector. One person.
Keyboard.
And one person.
Two people praise and worship.
Two people were leading praise and worship. And there was nobody in the congregation. So the congregation didn't have any members. And he was the member who was in the church. Do you understand the message? And even with one member church, Look at the power of God that was able to change this young person. So, do not underestimate the work of God that we are doing. Our work is very powerful. All of us young people. Thank you, Daniel. And then, the second thing is that the persistence of a man-to-man shepherd, man-to-man shepherding. Huh? Who is the one who said they came to knock on your door, on your window and said, today you are going to church. Who is that? Uh-huh, come. You see, you must never give up on your shepherding, evangelism. You said somebody came to your window.
Yes, Bishop, yes.
And said what?
He said, we're going to church right now. It was very early in the morning. I was still asleep. I said, she knocked on my window. We're going to church right now.
Now?
Now. So I got ready and I went to church.
Somebody who could be your father or your age?
She was older than me. She's about 26 now.
Ah, is it the Nelly?
No, it's Agai.
Another person?
Agai, yes.
Is she here? Where is
yes,
she?
Yes, she's there.
Come. You'll never be tired of working for God. You are the one, come, who knocked on his door. His door. His window.
His window. So I met him at Freshers Fair, and I followed up and he was ignoring my calls. So I don't know how I managed to know that that was his
window. You were bold enough to go to his window early in the morning. Yes. What time?
It was around as early as 9 or...
Eight.
In England, 9 o'clock is early, eh? By the way.
Eight in the morning.
Eight in the morning. We are going to church. Now. Get up. She's not his mother. But you see, spiritual power makes the young people... They look very powerful when they come. When you come with the word of God, you are very powerful. Yes. Haywood should come up. Nelly should come. Baby Jet should come. Sit down, please. So the people behind, they don't feel like standing. So when you stand like that, they will know. Baby Jet should come. These are little, but people can point to them. Yes. You have a beloved for his salvation. Receive a beloved in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes. Look at it. Somebody who used to mark, and so who used to mark 3 points, not as FIFA scores, but a girl is your scores. Ife and Co. You see, they are seniors. Or maybe you are senior to them. Salvation is nice to me. And I want you to see, look at small boys and girls. 22, 23, 20, whatever. How old are you? 20 years old. 20 years old. That's a so when you were shepherding this boy, how old were you when you were following him?
19.
Following him. Man to man. He said that. You said you wanted to always be close to him.
Yeah, that's my brother.
And your brother?
Yes.
Where is he? Come. And you see, this is buy one, get one free. He got the salvation of one and got another one free. You said you always wanted to be near him.
Yeah, so you always come to my room every
single day. How old are you?
I'm 21 now.
Well, so he's even younger than you.
Yeah.
But he was like a father to you.
He was. Yes.
Wow. Is it not wonderful? Yeah. So I want to encourage everybody, you know, who is working for God. Don't look at numbers. Don't look at whatever. One to one. That's why we are training you here, how to work for Jesus. Yes. If you don't like such things, maybe you should find another church. That's how we are here. We are working for Jesus and we are winning souls. And another thing I want to say is that you rarely get old people giving salvation testimonies like that. Elderly people, see, salvation is possible when you are younger. And then you would think that maybe they don't know bad things. They've done, I mean, deeper levels of badness. But I don't know what it is about being young. It's as if the heart is soft enough to be changed. It's not yet hardened. Sclerosis has not yet taken place. Are you with me? So I want to encourage all of you, if you are young, work for God. If you are, if it's a member, this is the most amazing. Daniel, where is he? Yeah, this is the part that touches me most. That when he came to church, he said, oh, come to church. You said, oh, maybe there's a congregation. Not knowing that he was the congregation, two worship leaders, one on the projector, one on the keyboard, and he's alone sitting there. I'm wondering what he was even thinking about. It's too beautiful. God is going to bless you and use you mightily as a young person. And many people will give great testimonies like this. Now, these people have been arrested for Jesus and also at the camps. You see, it's the spirit. Who were those Rasta men during the Ready at 20 camp? You were one of the Rasta, and I called you to come for. They had very wild hairstyle, and they were sitting there like that. And I could see that these were either drug addicts, and I was wondering who brought them to the camp, because a camp is for serious people. So why are these drug addicts or drug dealers sitting there looking very wild? So at the point, I made an altar call for special hairstyles. They should all come for it, because I didn't know what to do with them. Who else? Are there some more? Amos was also part of it. Hey, that's Amos. And this is who? The twins. Yeah. And the shepherd was by him. Wow. Beautiful. So please be encouraged to serve the Lord. Amen. Thank you, gentlemen and ladies. It's a blessing. And our brother who was in Sierra Leone, where is he? Come. Is this Sam? Yes. You see, here you also should see, where's the microphone? Somebody took it away. Now, you see, violence is often by demon-possessed people. He himself said it, that you sit down and be staring. So you see that a lot of people are doing things because of evil spirits that are working in them. Is it not true?
Yes, Bishop.
Yes. But Jesus is very powerful. And even these testimonies that we are giving, if you even play it for somebody, when people hear, say, wow, there were seniors in the bad things. I was a junior bad boy. These are seniors, university badness. Wow. Thank God. So you are now a missionary.
By the grace of God, Bishop.
In Grenada. Is it not amazing? And all that he wants to do is to serve the Lord. If there is something possibly he could do to build a church. And we are all going to donate money and build church buildings all where all these people have gone to do the churches. We are building church buildings. We are not having any missionary without a church building. As a special, if you are there, then the building is coming on. And right now, we are building in so many places. It's a special thing that is happening. And very soon, all the Caribbean islands will be covered with first lovers who are just, I mean, doing wonders. Yes. You see, the Caribbean is like an Americanized Africa. It's like a village with, I mean, closeness to America by distance. That's all. But it is Africa. But the people, you can see that they are our brothers and sisters. Yes. Are you glad that this young man is born again and saved? Yeah. I mean, is it you who said you will not enter a church for a wedding? Is it you?
I think it was Pastor Daniel.
This one. No, now you say we've heard of badness, but we've not heard that someone said, if it's a wedding, I'll wait till after the church and I will not enter the church. Wedding or funeral, I will not go into the church. No, this is serious. Clap for Jesus. I believe he's doing wonderful things. God bless you, son. God bless you. God bless you. Let's welcome Ida. I have a new life. I have a new life. Amen.
Stuck on you. I've got this feeling down deep in my heart since I found you. Now I'm on my way. Jesus, I was deep in sin, falling deeper and deeper into my sinful ways. But now I'm on my way. I have found a new life. Stuck on you, I found my place and this is where I'm gonna stay. Now I'm on my way. Jesus, this is where I found the love, the peace, the joy in the Holy Ghost. And now I'm on my way. I have found a new life. Oh, yes I have. So mighty glad I found a new life. Oh, this is a true and a faithful saying. Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. I was lost in sin and shame, but you gave your life to save me. Yeah. I'm stuck on you. I've got this feeling down deep in my heart and I found you. Now I'm on my way. Oh, Jesus, I was deep in sin, falling deeper and deeper into my sinful ways. But now I'm on my way. I have found a new life. Oh, yes, I have. So mighty glad I found a new life. Oh, I don't wanna ever have to leave you. No, no, I don't wanna ever have to lose my calling. I love the brethren, I love my pastor, I love the church, the beautiful church, the first love church. Lord, I love to be with you. Lord, I'm gonna stick with you. 'Cause I'm stuck on you. I've got this feeling down deep in my heart since I found you. Now I'm on my way. Yeah. Jesus, this is where I found the love, the peace, the the joy in the Holy Ghost, and now I'm on my way. I have found a new life. Oh yes, oh yes, I have. So mighty glad I found a new life. Oh, lift your hand and say, I found a new life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for a new life. Oh, I have found a new life. Oh, oh.
Let us pray. Father, pray for the spirit of revelation for a moment. Pray for the spirit of revelation. Father, we are so grateful. Lift your hand and receive power into your life. Father, thank you for changes that are coming into our lives. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. What you cannot do without faith. What you cannot do. You cannot do these things without faith. In other words, faith is a wonderful and precious thing. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Look at it. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1. It says, Simon Peter, a servant of God, amen, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. To those who have obtained this precious faith. So faith is a precious thing. Very, very precious. Amen. Can I have an amen? Faith is precious. More precious than your education. Some people say, all I want to give my children is an education. If you give your children an education and you don't give them faith, you've made them miss a major thing. You can give your child an education. That's why I don't believe in sending my child to the most expensive school where they are going to come back without faith. Because then they've missed a very precious thing that that can do things for you, which you cannot do if you don't have faith. You don't have faith, there's many things you cannot do with education. So I don't believe in just having an education or money. If I give you money, it's going to finish one day. If I give you money, it's going to finish one day. So, faith is a very precious element. This is a very short sermon, so please be alert. It's going to come, it's going to go by as fast as they all do. So, precious faith. Tell somebody, precious faith. If faith is precious, it's a treasure. To believe in God is a treasure. Thank God so much that I believe in God. Yes. And I've been waiting for all my children to have that precious faith. Amen. And I told my wife when we were younger, I said, if I die before, don't take my children abroad to school. And you hear the testimonies. You see, if Christ had not intervened, where is the young man? He said he was 17. And where is he? Lakpo. Is he, what is that? Is that his name? Lakpo? Or Lakpo? He's sitting by me. Yeah, this young man. How old are you now?
I'm 21, sir.
21. He hadn't known anything because by 4 p.m. he was home. So if he has not found this precious faith, so faith is a precious thing. And faith of believing in God one way or another, is what Europe has thrown away. Yeah. It's, oh, we have education, we have science, we have knowledge, we have this, we have that. Faith out. True or not true?
True, very true.
Sit down. So, look at Peter, 2 Peter 1:1. This is a beautiful verse. Who have obtained like precious faith. Underline precious faith. Precious faith. It's a precious thing to have. I would not like to have you when you don't have this precious element. You may not have diamonds, but if you have faith, there is so much that is open to you now. All right? So thank God that you are a believer. I prefer to be a poor man in Africa who has faith than to be a rich man in America who has no faith. Because whatever you do in this life, Donald Trump and all the millionaires of the world, I mean, how old is Donald Trump? Maybe 70? It's a few years. It's over. All your wealth and everything you have expires in its ability to do anything for you. So you can even count the months. And it'll be over. No matter who you are. So thank God for faith. Believing in God and believing his commandments is a great thing you have found. It's a precious faith. And Peter said, I am writing to people who have obtained this precious faith that I have. I'm writing to people who are like me and have gotten this precious element which a lot of people don't have. So when you see the students, where is Haywood? Haywood should come to me. 20-year-old shepherd. You see, stand here because he has faith. He's different from an normal 20-year-old. To a 20 or 19-year-old full with faith, it's like somebody, you know, one day I heard someone boasting and saying, you know, the money I have in my pocket, I can buy this car, I can buy that. I thought to myself, you are boasting about the wrong things. Yes. You see, and you should see the kind of power. You would have thought that it's a grandmother or a grandfather or a teacher from a school or some other senior with authority who is controlling this person. I want to be close to him. Because he's saving my life. Wow. Like a parent, he's actually younger than the boy. So faith makes you a precious, it makes you have something very valuable. And that faith comes by hearing. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing. So we share our faith by talking to people. And when we share our faith and preach to them, they hear. And then they also start to have faith in God. Beautiful. So brothers and sisters, Jesus coming to us. And here we are living on this earth. We've never seen him before. Never. But we are following him. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Amen. Number one, it's going to go very fast. You cannot be saved without faith. You cannot be saved without faith. Amen. Wow. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith. You are saved through faith. Never forget this verse. You are saved because you believe. Yeah. You are not saved because you are an NPP or NDC. Or you are in a Conservative Party or on the Republican Party. You are not saved because you have money or you have a passport from this country or that country. You are saved because of your faith. So if you have a child or you are a child and you are not a strong person of beliefs, believing in God, you can't be saved. And what is the use of everything you have? It's a pity that some parents will even fight their children when their children start going to church. What was the child like before the child had faith? What was the child like before the child had faith? Now the child is having faith and listening to more. You are saying the child is becoming addicted. This is unbelievable. I would not like to give birth to somebody who will not have faith. I would even prefer to do family planning to limit them. So that in case one will come and say, I don't believe. Hey, it means I've given birth something to hand over to the devil. God for really bid. John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him, whosoever is educated, should not perish. If you were at the bonfire, how many were not at the bonfire? We will do it again just because of you. When I saw the fire and the heat, I've never understood the flames of hell and the revelations of the fire. And next time I hope to have a big megaphone so you can hear me better. Yes. Flames. That's what it means to perish. And whosoever is educated, whosoever has money, whosoever has connections, whosoever has a beloved, whosoever has a car, whosoever has a British passport, whosoever is an American, whosoever has a green card, whosoever believes should not perish but have everlasting life. Verse 17. God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world. No. But that the world through him might be saved. But look at verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not. So the one who doesn't have faith is condemned. Whether you are Australian or whether you are English, you are condemned. Because you don't believe. Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. I tell you, to have a child who does not believe in God is like a curse. Yes. To be a child who does not believe and have strong faith is like a curse. Yes. He's condemned. He's a condemned child. It's a condemned person. There's no hope. When the judge is going to give the verdict, guilty or not guilty, everybody is waiting. Is he going to be guilty? Not guilty. If he's guilty, that means he's condemned. If he's not guilty, like Michael Jackson, when they say he's not guilty. And then he came to church. He came to church, caught in his pajamas at one of the sessions to show the judge that he's not feeling well. Not guilty. What can set you free? What can bless you to be saved? You cannot be saved without this element. You will by all means be a condemned child. As soon as you lie down like this, you descend into hell, fire. That fire. How can there be a fire that never goes out? Because the fire we had at the camp is gone out. By saying this, it shows you didn't do geography. You don't know volcanoes, right? You don't know volcanoes. Molten lava, it has been burning for a long time. And in the middle of the earth, it's melted. Lava is hot liquid. I recently watched a documentary on volcanoes. Volcano covered the whole city. They were all sleeping in the night. Everybody in the city. The whole city was covered. So many thousand people. And the volcano came around midnight. Everybody was asleep at 9, 10. The one who was making the documentary himself died. Yeah. Huh? Yeah. More volcanoes. Yeah, the guy who was doing the documentary himself. He went near to film one. And the thing just came. And took him. So they made the documentary after he was gone. Fire has been burning. Never went out. Oh, but if you go, you'll be burned into ashes. And you know, are you not tired of making up excuses? Are you not tired of risking your life? That's how you sleep. You don't learn. You go for exams and you bomb. Because you are used to taking risks. And you've been bombing all your life. Taking serious risks. How can you enter an exam without doing this subject at this point? You have been studying. And when you go, it's coming. So stop. If you are risking your exam, don't risk your whole life. So salvation, you cannot be saved. We are saved by grace through faith. So whenever you see somebody who doesn't have the belief that you believe, you should always feel sorry for the person. Number two, you cannot become a child of God. John 1:11. He came to his own. And his own received him not. So number two, faith is so important. You cannot become a child of God until you believe. And unless you are a believer. And unless you have faith. John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So when you believe on his name, you have the power to be transferred and become a son of God. You know, there are some people sometimes, maybe you are not from the family. Maybe your mother marries again, your father marries again. Then they marry someone from another country. And then the person is from another country. And then they've got a Ghanaian passport. And then they want to try to let the new person who has come to marry adopt them so that they become citizens. Do you understand? Because it's nice you can be around, but to be called a child, a real child, it means that you are the same nationality. So people fight for it. I want to be called your child so that I can have this. Or they want to be called a child so that they can inherit. And they come up and say, I'm also one of the children. Yes, many people, when their parents die, some other children pop up and say, we are all children. Check your DNA, you see that I'm one. So to be a child of God is to be fully adopted and be made God's child instead of a child of the devil. John 8:44. People want to say, oh, we are all children of God. But Jesus was preaching to Pharisees. Look at what he told them. He said, you are of your father the devil. And the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. And abode not in the truth. Because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. So you are of your father the devil. So when you are a child of God, you have been transferred from being a child of the devil, and you have now been made a child of God. And it's only possible by believing. No money. And you know, when you go to societies where everything depends on money, You know, you have to pay this, otherwise we will not sign your check. Pay this, otherwise we will not do this. Pay this, bring this percent, otherwise we will not give you the contract. Bring this money, otherwise this. Pay for this, otherwise that. When you come from that kind of thing, you can't believe that money is not important when it comes to certain things. You know, I thank God I started preaching when I was a student. And when we were preaching, we never took offerings. Never, for there was no reason to take an offering. And it did not occur to us that offerings were important. So, even when we started this church, we were not taking offerings. Then at a point, it was like we just started passing around the basket. So I grew up with a moneyless version of Christianity. Moneyless. I never preached for money up till today by God's grace. If I was preaching for money, you think I would not be following all the invitations to America and all that. You say, I'm rather going to Pasa and Pandai and Tatale, Zabzugu Tatale. What do you think is in Zabzugu Tatale? Red sand. So, people believe money is everything. But faith is rather a master key to some of the greatest things that you can ever have. And without faith, you will never have certain things. You can have all the money, but if you don't have faith. And that's what even the politicians have remembered. And some of them, you see that they will call a prophet who has no education, who cannot even speak English. Yes, but they realize that he's a man of faith, a man of power. So faith, you are becoming a child of God by your faith. So please, we have to be men of faith. Yes, because God has made us men of faith. Amen. Number three, you cannot please God without faith. You cannot please God. God will never be happy with you unless you have faith and unless you believe in Him. Hebrews 11, verse 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Huh? Did you hear the word impossible? Not without righteousness. Huh? Without faith. Why? Because no matter how good you are, you'll be bad. You may be a virgin, you may even wear glasses. But without faith, you are not good enough. I'm telling you. Some of the people who can tell you all the things they haven't done. There are some people sitting down here. When the people were giving their testimony, you were saying to yourself, hey, these people are bad. Oh. Me, I've not done all these things before. I've not done this before. Be careful. Oh. You may be filled with more demons of pride and self-righteousness and unrighteous judgment. And you may be more difficult to live with. More difficult to stay with. Yes. I've seen people who were virgins wearing glasses. Very difficult to live with. Yes. One time a husband was complaining. And he said, no. Because the wife was somewhere and she was going to come near. I said, Dad, this is what I feared all my life. I don't want her to come near. Yes. A certain father called his son and told the son, I have nothing to say in the world about marriage and about many things, but only one thing. This is a real story. All my stories are real. And he said to his son, don't marry a virgin. This is all I will say to you. This is the only one. So the son told me, this is the advice my father gave. This is the only thing. He never said whether he had a good marriage, a bad marriage. But if you take a virgin, somebody who has been pure, has been able to stay away from this, stay away from that, couldn't do this, didn't do this, didn't do this, didn't do this. And she married someone and the person is saying, I feel that the evil characteristic that I met in the house came from the person's, excuse me to say, righteousness. Because it's difficult to stay with super. Headmistresses type of like in glasses as usual. Such people wear glasses sometimes. No, not all of them, but don't worry if you wear glasses. I'm just teasing you. It's like art students. I'm always teasing them because I'm jealous of them, you know. I wish these days I've been advising people to be art students because art students have more money than science students. Look, if you don't like to be teased, don't come to this church. Because we are very happy here. We are happy here. There are no problems. Ask your neighbor, is there any problem with you? Is there any difficulty? No, ask the person, are you okay? Is everything okay? There's no problem here. We are okay here. Just when we finish, we are going to eat kelewele. There's no stress here. So, without faith, you can't please God. And I'm surprised. I'm surprised. It's one of my surprise scriptures. I thought that like Charlie to be like righteousness and perfection. Hey! I once had a friend. He was very strict. Anything I do wrong, my own classmate, anything I do wrong, he corrects me. He told me, he said, you don't know how to talk. Talk like this. He said, the way you do this is not right. Wow. So I was scared of him. Yeah. Then one day I went to his house. When I entered his room, I saw, you see, I don't know whether it's a mantelpiece or a dressing table or some kind of furniture. And he has arranged like 2 centimeters between the comb and then the pomade, another 4 centimeters. He has arranged everything with a design and a pattern. And there is nothing out of order in his room. Charlie, it will not be easy to stay in this household. Because the guy had the rules. So as I was there, I realized that before I realized, I've sinned. I've done something wrong. Yes. And when you are with such people, you are always doing something wrong. And some people, it's not arrangement on a table, but it's arrangement in their minds, what they think should be right or wrong. So when you do this, don't wave your hand like this. Or when you are doing something, say, no. Why are you smiling at this? Don't smile this way. Smile this way. Hey. Why are you talking to this person? I don't enjoy when you talk to people like that. You were very happy when you were talking to that girl. Look, God's righteousness, making God happy, is not about being perfect. I'm sorry to say, for the perfect people. Turn to the nearest person who is wearing glasses and say, listen, it's not about being perfect and all that. Wearing glasses and all that, okay? Those who are wearing glasses, also face the people who are facing you. They removed their glasses. Now, what makes God happy is your belief. If you start from the beginning, Noah, he was into drinking. It's amazing. But God was very happy with him. And the drinking was not before the flood, though. Like he was drinking before the flood. The drinking continued to after the flood. Probably on the boat, he had stuck some whiskey and some vodka in the boat. So, drinks cabinet in the ship. Yeah. And it's like you wonder, where did he get the alcohol from after? Because all alcohol has been drowned in the world. Yeah, maybe he was brewing it on the ship. But you see, God was very happy with Noah. Because Noah had, that is, by faith, Noah, being warned of God, he was moved with, he really believed in God. He believed that the rain would come. He believed that it would happen. He spent so much time building the boat. He spent so much time hunting animals to catch them alive. It's different from killing animals to catching things alive. Can you imagine catching a lion alive? I've been bitten by a lion before. In my real life, this life I'm living, I was bitten by a lion. It's a baby lion, but it was a lion. Yes. A lion is a lion, whether it's a baby or a grown up. It's a lion. A child of a lion is a lion. It was not a dog, it was a lion. I think, Joshua, you were there when the lion beat me. Yeah. It caught the back of my leg like that. Serious. Yes. And the people came to rescue us from the lions. Yes. So, for Noah and his children to be searching for lions and all that, God overlooked the drinking part. So, the person rather who came to see Noah drunk, to come and take pictures and was now trying to make fun of Noah, he is the one who had the curse. And he was severely cursed. Yes. And still, it's working. You can see all around. Yes. Then we come to Abraham. When he was going, he told his wife, listen, for us to survive, you have to stay with other men. Tell them that you are my sister. So just stay here. Don't worry, you will come back later. You'll be okay. He was into lies. He was into handing over his wife for the pleasures of dangerous people. Say, I don't want trouble at all as we are traveling. Don't some people do that? They do that. Easily. So, Abraham said to Sarah, she's my sister, you can have her. No problem. Yeah, I want to survive. Yeah. And he took Sarah and said, no problem, you can have her. I'm sure when Sarah came back, she said, you? Hey, when you said I'm your sister, you're not even stand up for our love. You didn't come out of the deep freezer to tell the armed robbers that you are here. You didn't fight for me. I'm sure they would have had a serious marital problem after this case. But you see, people who obey, and I'll tell you something, look out in your personal life, you will find out that when somebody has faith, faith is obedience and obedience is faith, and the person obeys, in spite of the person's other issues, you start to like the person. And you immediately understand God, that God likes people who believe in him and obey him. So if you want to really please God, please, there's a song we say, to be pleasing him, this is all I really want to do, to be pleasing you, pleasing you, this is all I really want to do. If you want to please him, believe more and obey more. Amen. Do what? Believe more and obey more. Yes. More things. And so God is using faith as the reason to send people to hell. Yeah. You don't believe? To hell. So you see fornicants and senior criminals coolly walking into heaven Because we are saved by faith, not by not being a criminal. You see them walking righteous. Some of the judges who put them even in prison will be ushered into the fire. Watch and see. Jesus, when he came, he said, the harlots and the sinners are entering into the kingdom of heaven more than these Pharisees. How many things can you not do without faith? You cannot do what without faith? Number one, you cannot be saved. Number two, you cannot be a child of God. Number three, you cannot please God. Number four, you cannot walk. You cannot progress without faith. Amen. You cannot walk. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7. So faith is very important. We walk by faith, not by sight. So if you are going to move on in God, you need to have faith. Yeah. You see, Heywood was explaining to his shepherd, to his sheep, it's good you've come to Christ and you are listening to me. This is my father. This is our prophet. You have to listen to him. My duty is also to point him to Jesus, to believe in Jesus. So we keep on learning more things and believing. Look at me. How do I become a pastor? Have I shown you a certificate before that I'm a pastor? But you believe I'm a pastor. So you tend to believe more things. The more things you believe, you walk. Thank you. If you walk, if you believe, you walk. We walk by faith. Wow. So the engine for forward movement in God is faith. So the more things you believe, the more you keep moving forward. When I started to believe in miracles, I moved from just being a preacher and a teacher to a miracle working minister. Yes. When I was in Senegal, they called me a grand marabout, which is a big magician. Yes, senior magician. Because I moved in ministry from just teaching and preaching to miracle ministry. Yes, practically. So each thing you believe takes you a step further. But without believing, you stay in the same spot. So you may get saved and stay just saved, like only on the brink of the cliff, almost in damnation, and just 1 foot on the cliff. But you can move in deeper into God by believing and obeying more things. When you start paying tithes, you move forward financially. You move forward in God. You declare your respect for God by paying tithes. You don't respect God, you don't pay tithes. You just throw him some peanuts. I was talking to a businessman last week, and I told him, just throwing sand into dust into our eyes. I said, that's how you are. And your kind are just like that. When it comes to the church, just keep some smoke and some dust. But you see, it takes faith. The other day, somebody came and said, I have my tithe. I want to bring my tithe. This is tithe. I want to give this huge amount to the ministry. I said, God bless you. He said, God has blessed me. And the blessing has brought it. And I realized that you cannot do that if you don't have faith. Even your husband or your wife may not agree. Yeah. Because everything you give, you need. There is never a time you give something you don't need. At least it happens in my life. I don't know about you. Check with your neighbor whether the things you give, you don't need them or you don't like them. There is never a day you will give something you don't really need. Because if you think you don't, you can see me after church and I'll prove to you that there are many things you need and that you don't have. I don't see why you came in a bus. You came in, you didn't bring your own car. You came in, don't you need a car? You need a car. You are coming to give offerings. Somebody who needs a car, if you were to save all your offerings at least over 17 years, you can maybe get a car. Faith makes you progress with God. So all of you who gave those great change testimonies, beautiful. But you need to go in deeper. Eh? You see, when the missionaries came from Africa, from Europe, they landed on the coast. That's why we have the castles at the coast. Ghana has more castles than any other country. God should forgive us. So we were selling our brothers. So all these castles were the initial landing spots. But Ghana is more than the coast. Ghana is more than the coast. Oh yes, there's more to Ghana. The gold is in Obuasi, in Takwa. There's now gold in Tamale. Oh yes. There's gold in the Volta Lake. There's oil on the land. I personally have seen oil coming from the ground. I went to see black oil like that. Oil all in the forest. You walk on, it's not water. It's oil, thick oil. Yeah. So if you stay on the coast, you don't go in deeper. You don't see many things you could see. Don't you want to see many more great things in God? Ah, there are nice things, oh. There are nice things in Jesus. Some of you find when you come to church, you realize, wow, there is more. You come to a camp, you realize there is more. There's more and more and more. So you need to believe. The more you believe, the more you move. We walk by faith. In other words, it's like if faith is the petrol for your car. Faith is the petrol that makes your car move forward. And it's not moving because there's no petrol. So you are not moving forward in God because you are not believing. Believe more things. Believe in God. Jesus said, believe in God. Believe also in me. Believe in God. Believe John 14. He said, believe in God. Also me. So you have to learn to grow in things you believe. Believe in many things. Believe in the anointing. Believe in the mantle. Last week I gave you a mantle. Did you get a mantle? How many did not get a mantle? Okay, you should have come last week. You should have believed and come. Yes. The more you believe in these things, the more you will have many things happening in your life. Faith is a mighty force, unstoppable force. How many things can you not do without faith? Number one, you cannot do what? You cannot be saved without faith. Number two, you cannot become a child of God. Number three, number four, you cannot walk. Number five, you cannot avoid damnation. You cannot avoid damnation. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 12. That they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in righteousness, unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you for salvation. Look at verse 12. That they might all be what? Damned. Everybody say damned. Yeah, sometimes some people in school say damn you. Damn you. Damnation, you are damned. I want six people who feel that you were damned till you found Jesus to come here. You anybody who feels you were damned. You are damned. And you found Jesus. Anybody who feels that, yeah, I just asked for sister. I didn't say all of you or all of you not. Come. Come if you feel you were damned. Stand on the step. Stand on the step. Brian, you come from which country?
South Africa.
You were damned?
Very, very damned.
Why were you very damned? You see, he is not only damned, but very damned.
Why were you damned? Because of the life I was living in South Africa, it was just terrible. I used to do all sort of things. I didn't like smoking, so I would actually make the weed like for a cake or cupcake, something like that. And it's...
You were making cakes instead of using vanilla or something else. He was using weed to make cake. Damnation. Damnation. Were you damned?
I was very damned.
Why were you damned?
When I was in secondary school, I used to do a lot of bad things. I had a group of friends that I organized them. We go for parties. We go to schools for programs. I taught them to drink. I taught them to smoke.
You were the teacher?
Yes, I was the teacher.
The leader?
I was the leader of the group. We're called Mugu Boys in Botre.
What? Botre?
Yes, in Fanspim School.
Is it a good or a bad school?
It's a good school.
It's a good school with bad boys. Damnation. Who else is damned? Why were you damned?
I used to be addicted to pornography.
You're damned.
Yes. I also was, when I was about 5 or so, I had a sexual encounter, and that opened my spirit up to sexuality. And from about 9, 10, I was addicted.
You were going deeper.
I was addicted to pornography for about 10 years.
Wow. Shabakabaya. Were you damned?
Yes, Bishop, please. I was a lesbian and I used to masturbate a lot. But by the grace of God, I am saved. But not only that, I remember even when I joined the church, I used to say that I don't like younger boys. I like to date bigger men. So I had older men coming up to me.
Kama shakabaya.
Save it.
Damnation. Were you damned?
Yes, please. All my friends when I was in Nigeria, all my friends were bad from the first one to the last one. So my dad almost disowned me before I came to university. So my dad almost...
Is he happy now?
Yes, please. He's very happy. He even posted on Facebook. There was a time that he posted on Facebook that the work that I'm doing here in Ghana, that whatever I found that is in Jesus, that he's actually happy with it. I saw it on my post on my Facebook page. And I actually screenshotted it and I said that this is the best. If my father has never said anything good to me, that this is the best thing that he has ever said to me.
Uncle Krobo, were you damned?
I was damned. And
damned!
Can you see I'm sweating? Bishop, I did everything except sodomy. Okay, I did everything. I was wild. Coup making.
You've made a coup before?
I've tried to make a coup before. I've done everything that you guys can imagine. And if I didn't find God, I don't know where I would have been.
Damnation. Damnation. 2 Timothy 2, look at it, verse 12. Without faith, oh, put my verse back. It says that they all might be damned. The word is strong, oh. Damned. Serious. And when somebody even insults you, damn you, it's not too far from the truth. Damn you. You are almost damned if it's not for Jesus. You are damned. So if you are not born again, you shouldn't say, what did the boy say when he said, I accept it or what? Huh? I like it. I like it. Yes. Makes me alert. Were you damned?
Totally damned, Daddy. Totally damned. Ripped a girl, prison, all these things.
Prison, everything. Today he's a pastor. Eh? He's a missionary, actually. I sent him from Ghana to Nigeria. Huh? Yes. He wants to stay with me for life. I told him, go and do something and come. Amen. Yes. Yes. It's beautiful. Yes. Everything is in seasons. Jesus is wild, though. Me, I don't understand people who don't like Jesus and who don't want to be very close to Jesus. And those of you who, when I said those who are damned should come and you didn't come, and let me tell you something here. I just want to speak to all of you personally, between me and you. That you say you are sitting there. No, don't come now. It's too late. No. You can't join. You can't join now. It's too late. But I just want to tell you, Jude and all of you. All of you sitting here, you feel that you haven't done this. You were also damned till you met Jesus Christ. Yes. Especially those wearing glasses, you have to be careful. Damnation is for everybody, all of us, including myself. Damn. All of us were damned that they might all be damned. Who believed not? Not who did not have money. You know, one day somebody told me something. He said that this thing, it works everywhere. I said, what do you mean? He said, it works in Alaska. It works in South Africa. It works in Norway. It works in Africa. It works in the Caribbean. And I realized that the reason why it works is that it's the same faith. For faith, yeah, it will work everywhere. But if it's dollar or CD or Naira, it will not work everywhere. It just works up to this border. Then it doesn't work again. When it's money, when it's your face, when it's your color, when it's something else, when it's a house. Your house is valuable here. It may not be valuable there. for faith. It works everywhere. All these people were damned. And those sitting also damned. And maybe even suffering from some bit of self-righteousness. And all those here. I'm surprised you didn't come. You've been singing the first boyfriend I had. Oh, Peter Lava. Hey! Amazing. Do you want us to preach about Jesus? More about Jesus. More. Yes. More. Because he has saved us from being damned. Thank you. You cannot be saved. You cannot avoid damnation without faith. Yes. Clap for Jesus and go and sit down. Thank you. How many things can you not do without faith? You cannot what? Number one, you cannot be saved without faith. Number two, you cannot be a child of God without faith. Number three, you cannot please God without faith. Number four, you cannot progress or walk without faith. Number five, you cannot avoid damnation. Number six, you cannot be justified or righteous without faith. Can never be righteous without faith. Romans 3:28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith and without the deeds of the law. A man is what? Justified by faith. Galatians 3:24. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster, bringing us unto Christ. Okay? That we might be justified by faith. You are justified, not by your works. So all those who are sitting there thinking they are not damned, you see, because they can't point to certain things and say, I used to do this, I did this, and so they feel good. But it also brings another bad thing. Hey, Romans chapter 4, verse 3. Romans chapter 4, verse 3. What saith the scripture? What saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Wow. Abraham did what? I can't hear you. I can't hear you. What did Abraham do, please? What did he believe? God told him, you'll be a father of many nations. Wow. Go and have sex with old lady. Wow. Wow. Old lady. Yeah, old lady. I need me old lady. Not the new ones. Old lady. Do you know old lady? Yes. Hey. He went and did it. Sarah herself was shocked at what Abraham was doing. Hey, Father Abraham, what are you doing? Abraham, and that thing he did made God so happy with him. You know, God has different standards from us. So I need you to be a person who is becoming righteous by faith. Have faith in God. Believe. Believe. The more things you believe, the more righteous you are. Yes. He believed and it was considered as righteous. And I'll give you this test. Write it down. Somebody who obeys me. When young people are going to get married, you ask them, what do you like about her? Oh, I you know, she does whatever I say. I call her. And what breaks up relationships? We're always arguing. We're always arguing. When I say she doesn't listen, she doesn't believe what I'm saying, then the relationship starts to falter. But when there's a flow, when I talk, she flows. She really understands me. She's the one who really understands me. I mean, she really flows. And when is the relationship spoiling? We are arguing. It's a long meeting about one topic. Everything become talk. It's not working because you are not believing as you used to believe. Before you marry, he was so wise to you. I asked one beloved, what did you like about him before you married? So, because he's so wise. After they married, they were arguing. And she said, I always remember when I told you, I find him so wise. So in those days, she believed him because she thought he was wise. But as the relationship goes down, there's a lot of arguments. Hey, I don't think this is the right thing. I don't think we've come to see the pastor so that we can break up the relationship because it's the breakup of my relationship. That's what's on my heart today. So the more you argue with God, the more he doesn't like you. The more you believe in him. So the people who God liked, Noah, Abraham, he's not like, they believe fantastic things. Can you imagine if I go and start building a boat here? A boat here, just at the lake, the park here. If I say, what are you doing? So I'm building a boat. Say, why? There's going to be rain. When? Soon. You watch and see. And I build a big boat there. And I say, oh yeah, people, everybody will come in. Metro TV, GTV, this one, UTV, they will be there. Taking pictures. And I'll catch animals. Get a permit to have a zoo. And I keep animals there. Then one day I enter in the boat with my children. And I say, in 7 days, it's going to work. It's going to rain. I mean, it's a great job. So you see that in the light of that, the drinking thing was not even such an issue to God. Like what this man has done to show his belief is so great that the drinking thing becomes so small. Because he knows our frame. You know, our flesh are so bizarre. How many have flesh that is quite funny? If you have a funny flesh, raise your hand. Like it tries to disgrace you most of the time. You'll be in church raising your hand, then your right eye is looking at the wrong thing. All right, we are ending. I told you it was going to be fast. Now, without faith, you cannot quench the attacks of the devil. Yes. Without faith, you cannot quench the attacks of the devil. Ka, sha, ta, la, masa. John 11:38. Jesus, therefore, groaning in himself, came to the grave, and it was a cave, a stone laid upon it. And Jesus said, take away the stone, Martha, the sister of him who was dead. Saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh. He has been dead for 4 days. Jesus said to her, said I not unto thee, if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. You see, in Ephesians chapter 6, the Bible teaches us clearly that we quench the fiery darts of the devil. And a fiery dart had been thrown at the family of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. And Lazarus was dead. But listen to my words. Every situation, every negative attack is reversible by faith. That's why Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Whatever the devil seemed to have done in your life, Jesus is saying to you today in John 11 verse 40, the power of reversing all entrances of the enemy. Jesus reversed. He reversed the attack. He reversed the attack. He reversed. It reversed. It went backwards. It seems it has worked, but the enemy will be reversed in your life in the name of Jesus. Push back. So whatever crisis or difficulty has arisen in your life is reversible by faith. So without faith, you cannot quench the attacks of the enemy. Yeah. But when you have faith, you'll say, it cannot be. Where's my breakfast? It cannot be. Where's my wife? It cannot be. Where's my beloved? I need to go somewhere. It cannot be. Where's my lunch? It cannot be. Where's my dinner? I reverse it by faith in the name of Jesus. Whatever the devil seems to have done in your life, is being reversed by faith in the name of Jesus. Maybe Satan thinks that he has implanted in you a desire and implanted in you something negative and made your life twisted and warped. I declare you today by John 11 verse 40, every attack and infiltration of Satan in your life is reversed by the power of faith. Faith is an unstoppable, invisible, supernatural power that is released in your life. Kama shatalaba. And your life goes higher by the things you believe. Yes. Yes. Keep believing. Oh. Keep believing. You will have a higher kind of life. Shanata sakalabulara. Metalaba. I see a reversal of attacks and implantations and deposits of darkness in your life is reversed by faith. Jesus says, said I not unto you. I told you that if you believe, you see the glory of God. This was a conversation that was not in the Bible. Jesus was referring to a conversation he had had with her. He was talking to her earlier. And he told her, if you believe, you see glory. Kashitolasha. But she didn't know the prophecy was coming to pass over Lazarus' dead body. You shall see the glory of God. So a new life. The next thing you cannot do is, and the last thing is that you cannot have a certain kind of life. Yes. The life I now live. Galatians 2:20. The life you now live. How many are glad to have a new life? The just shall live by his faith. The just shall have a new life by his faith. And the life I now live. Nevertheless I live. Yet not I. Christ liveth in me. And the life. The life, the life I now live. You see me, a doctor, look at me here dancing on the stage. Instead of being in the clinic or emergency duty. Instead of being on emergency, look at me dancing in the church. The life I now live. Eh? Wow. Shapalama Zobaraba. The faith you have will give you a new kind of life. Yes. You would have been stuck up in some corner somewhere. But the life I now live. How do I live that life? I live it. Put the scripture there. I live by the faith. Look at it. Galatians 2:20 is you are taking it home. The life I now live. Galatians 2:20. I live. How do I live it? By money? No. By food? By connections? By faith. In the name of Jesus. Beautiful. You know that some of the people describe it. Look at Pastor Daniel. He would have been, his all his friends are mad. All. There were four. Three are mad. He's the only one left. The life, he would have been in a mental hospital. When I was a medical student, when we went on psychiatry, the psychiatrist took us to cages. I have never seen human beings up and down in cages in the mental hospital. Cages with metals. Some of them are wild. One patient went to one of the mental patients attacked another mental patient and removed the eyes of the other patient. Yes. They are wild. This is where it would have been. But Jesus. Do you see why I'm a preacher? I said, do you see why I am a preacher? Those at the back, they don't see anything. Those at the back, they don't see anything. Those near the door. Do you see why we should preach? Those in the corner over there. The life I now live. Lift your hand and thank God. What you cannot do without faith. You cannot be saved. You cannot be righteous. You cannot live. You cannot quench the attacks of the devil. You cannot be saved. You cannot move forward. You cannot avoid damnation without faith. Your faith is precious. Is precious. 2 Peter 1:1. Precious faith. Father, thank you for the precious faith that you've given to us. We are going to hold on to our beliefs and acquire more beliefs and work deeper in our beliefs in you. We thank you, Lord, for your blessing and your power in our lives. In Jesus' name. Put your hand on your chest. I'm going to pray for you. Acts 6:8. And I want this to be your prayer. Everybody, Acts 6 verse 8. Acts 6 verse 8. This is what I'm going to pray for you. This is how you are going to put your name there. Instead of Stephen, your name will be there. I don't know what your name is. Is your name what? Your name is what? Huh? Uh-huh. It says, and Stephen, full of what? Faith and power. What did he do? Because he was full of faith. Full of alcohol, full of water, full of kenke, full of rice. No, full of faith and power. Did what? Great wonders and miracles among the people. Your life is going to be one life of wonders and miracles among the people. Father, thank you. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you for touching our lives. Thank you for blessing everyone here. Thank you for giving us faith and giving us a chance to believe. Thank you for the person who walked to us and spoke to us. And thank you for the person who preached to us and made us believe in you. Thank you. Thank you for faith, the great and precious faith that you give to us. Even if we are not handsome and we are not beautiful, but we have faith, we thank you that it makes all the difference in our lives. We give you praise. Pray for yourself for a moment. A man of faith, a woman of faith and power. Stephen, a man of faith and power, who did wonders, great wonders, miracles among the people. Ka no satama, shele badambala zumbede, selinto salamanda, selemendo salamanda, manese talama dobali sumanakata liba shilo mamaza de barila mamanda, pela remaniso talara belenemo kamanda libarala mamanda libaba, kelidos kaladas kulodos keledulu kaladari manando la baba shabalada. We give you praise. We give you thanks, Lord. We honor you, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus. As every head is bowed and every eye closed, if you are here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I want me to pray with you. Maybe you want to give your life to God today. Maybe you heard people giving some testimonies. I want to say, Jesus, today I also want to change. I want to give my life to God. If you are here like that, if you want to give your life to God, you want to change, you want to be born again, raise up your right hand. And I'm going to pray with you. God bless you. Lift it up high. I want to change today. And I want to give my life to God today. I'm turning around now. Now is the time. God bless you. Then your hand must be up. I see your hand. I see your hand. All your hands I see. If you've lifted your hand, come to me in the front here. I'm waiting for you here. Come. Come right here.
Come on to Jesus. Yeah.
Let him have his way.
Let him have his way. Come on to Jesus. Come on to Jesus.
All right, let us pray. Lift your hand and say this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, please forgive me for my sins. I give my life to you. Please have mercy on me. Make me a new person. From today, I open my heart to Jesus Christ. Say, from today, I am saved by the blood of Jesus. Please write my name in the book of life. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Now, I'm giving everybody one of these books very quickly. And your life will never be the same. All of you, take this book. I want you to read it. It's called Key Facts for New Believers. And there's a sticker in it called First Love Church with a phone number inside the book. Have you seen yours? So that's our number. You always call us. We love you. We will come to where you are. And your life will never be the same. Amen. Is it powerful to have a sticker inside the book? Yes, that's your first love number, First Love Church. Lift your book, let me pray for you. Father, bless everyone who has come to give their life to Jesus today. Thank you for their lives. They will never be the same again in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when we close, all of you, when we close, come to the corner over here.
We are going to pray with you. Amen. God bless you. You may go back to your seat. It's time for communion. Please be seated for a minute. Please be seated.
Take, eat, this is blood. Take, eat, this is my body, which was broken for you. Drink, this is my blood, which was shed for you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. Oh, the cup of blessing which we bless, it's the communion of the blood of Christ. The bread which we break, it's the communion of the body of Christ. Oh, this is the holy meal. It is the meal of God. Oh yeah. It will sustain you. It will make you whole. When I see the blood. Oh, I will pass over you. Mm-hmm, oh Lord. When I see the blood, oh, oh, oh yeah, I will pass over you.
1 Corinthians 11 verse 28. And I want us to look at the NIV version. The NIV. It says, Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat the bread and drink the wine. Amen. You should examine yourself. Why? Verse 29. Because those who eat and drink without discerning, or the Living Bible says, honoring the body, you are eating and drinking God's judgment on yourself. Verse 30. This is why so many of you are weak and sick, and some have even died. They died because of communion. And people were sick because of communion. And people were weak because of communion. Wow. So those of you who think that communion is just a symbolic thing, you probably don't understand it. So Paul was writing, Jesus instituted it, and Paul brought a little clarification about what it was and the effect that it has. Like, if something can make you weak, something can make you sick, and something can make you die, then it means that it has a physical effect. So that's the point that I want you to see, that communion has a physical impact. Physical, it's not just a spiritual or symbolic. So two things, it is not symbolic and it's not spiritual. It's real. So it has an effect spiritually and really, to the extent that when you drink it, you can actually drink weakness, sickness, death. Because you are not examining yourself carefully, that I'm not joking with this thing. It's a real thing. Because some people were eating and just even getting drunk with Holy Communion. So be careful. So now, if something can make you weak and sick and die, it means it can make you strong, it can make you healthy, and it can make you live. Because it seems to have power in these areas. Weakness area, sickness area, and life and death area. These are three departments. To be strong or weak, to be sick or... Because you can be weak, but you are not sick. You can be weak, but you are not sick. So weakness is different from sickness. So some were weak, some were sick, and some actually died. Death is different from sick, being sick. You can be dead. When you are dead, you are not even sick. You are just dead. So these three powers.
powers are coming into you this morning or this afternoon. The power for strength, the power for health, and the power to live. Receive it in the name of Jesus Christ. Stand to your feet. This is the miracle part of the service. We have a miracle service every Sunday. This is the miracle part. Father, we receive the body. Forgive us for our sins, our mistakes, our errors, our crimes. Cleanse us by your mercies and your blood, we ask. And we approach your table. We ask for health. We ask for strength and life. Let it be imparted to everyone by your power in the name of Jesus, the body of Jesus Christ. Now, have you swallowed the bread? You have swallowed health. Yes. Have you swallowed the bread? Yes. You have swallowed strength. Yes. Now the blood. Do you remember the scripture says the life is in the blood? Yes. So that's why when you drink this, you are drinking life. The life is in the blood. The life is in the blood. Father, we present to you this wine. Let it miraculously be transformed into the blood of Jesus. Let us receive life, every one of us, as we receive this holy communion. The life of God, Zoe, we receive it. The blood of Jesus Christ. Lift your hands for your blessing. Whatever curse works to weaken you, to make your knees weak with fear, with disease, I rebuke it. Receive strength into your life. Whatever disease, diagnosis of disease, blood disease, cancer disease, any name that rings and brings fear is bound in the name of Jesus Christ. Whatever kills, shortens life, whether accident, disease, death, or unfortunate mishaps and calamities, by the blood of the Lamb, you are declared an escapee. Let me hear your loudest amen. I declare that you are exempted from death. I declare exemption over your life. You are exempted from the power of the devil in the name of Jesus Christ. Receive supernatural health, supernatural life, supernatural strength. You'll not be weak anymore. You'll not be tired anymore. You'll not be sick anymore. Your life has come back into you by the power of God. Now, whatever could not be found in the life of Jesus cannot be found in your life from today. Any event that couldn't happen to Jesus in his life on earth cannot happen to you. Receive long life, a good life, prosperous life, extended life in the name of Jesus. Lift your hand and praise God for what he has done in your life. Father, we thank you for your blessing and your power. Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said amen. God bless you. Give the Lord a shout of amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the preaching of God's word. For audio CDs, DVDs, books and other resources by Dykewood Mills, please visit our website at www.dykewoodmills.org. God richly bless you.